find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken. Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink his super sauce and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring them in alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there was no one else who took.
Call out for Super Dickin. Call out for Super Ficken.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to fit. But he threatened Judge Three, a jury slapped old Hal Feepy. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the Dirty Juice commands, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves diggling fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNN. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the Dirty Juice command, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miff goober little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lying right. A mum, that niggly molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the Dirty Juice command, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Zogling, Quaker, and Mamzer-ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog plant. In the open air, coast-to-coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, the remnant. You chose the seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ call. Greetings. This is episode number 127 of the Movement Turd. Tonight is the 17th of June, 2012. It's 8:36, more or less, Granby Unstandard Central Time. And tonight's show is called Zog Babylon Has a, you know, Has a Long Hot Summer Coming Up, or Come Coming Up. And the reason I go ahead and say that is that there ain't really much going on in the bowel movement. I'm going to have Russ Walker call in, or ask him to call in my cell phone, but I'm going to go ahead and say for a few minutes here the introduction. And probably the biggest news ain't really in the movement, but it's, well, pretty well among the Zogland. What you have is that, I guess, this morning, this stupid old nigger, Rodney King, went ahead and drowned in his pool. Now, what would a nigger normally be doing with a swimming pool? I mean, it ain't like niggers really instinctively love to swim or like water or anything like that here. You know, drinking it or essentially getting wet in it or bathing in it or certainly swimming in it. Usually niggers, because they have very, very, very dense bones, don't float very well. And they don't have the mind that is really necessary to be really, really, really good swimmers. And essentially, they're not like true Icelanders, you know, unlike Newskike from Brooklyn or Queens or wherever he's from here. I mean, generally, I was a very, very, very good swimmer. I was very muscular when I was younger and a very fast swimmer. sometimes I could nearly outswim a canoe. With, you know, although a canoe that was, well, pretty well paddled by less than competent. But anyway, what happens is that I don't know what the nigger was doing with the pool. I mean, other than, well, I got a whole bunch of money from the nigger lottery, and he was going to be married to this nigger, I guess, who essentially was one of the sheboons in a civil trial where he got a whole bunch of zog bucks for, essentially, in many cases, being the cause of the L.A. riots, which went ahead and killed 53 more, well, humansers or critters running across the food in that zog plain. Anyway, from what I gather, according to TMZ, he said, Rodney King, dead, smoking weed before drowning. Folks, this is a story of a typical average nigger. Rodney King's fiance is telling friends Rodney had been drinking all day Saturday and had smoked weeds in the hours leading up to his death. Sources close to King tell TMZ. According to our sources, King's fiance, Cynthia Kelly, is telling friends King was at the house all day drinking. He smoked marijuana at some point before she went to bed at 2 a.m. Well, it ain't like she has to get up and work, you know what I mean? We're told Kelly says she next saw King around 5 a.m. when she was awoken by him screaming in the backyard. Our sources say Kelly found King naked, banging on the glass, and she called out to him, "What's wrong, Rodney?" Kelly is telling friends. She then went to grab her phone when she heard a big splash. She then went to the backyard and discovered him in the bottom of the pool and called police. Paramedics attempted to revive King, but were unsuccessful. Well, folks, you have a drowned nigger at the bottom of the pool. And since I guess the sheboon had enough sense here to know that she couldn't swim, so she figured out there was a need for two niggers. Now, you never know. Maybe she poisoned old Codney and thinks she's going to go ahead and give Zog Bucks whatever little is left here. And other people said is that really, Codney didn't really cause the L.A. riots. Codney essentially was the nigger face. He was a Trayvon Martin of, what, 21 years ago. And essentially, you end up having pigs beat the crap out of this nigger who essentially is all doped up, isn't minding. And what happens, you had a bunch of wiggers go ahead in the first trial and found all four pigs not guilty of going ahead and beating up the nigger. Now, what you end up having is that all these, you know, this little camera footage was edited by the Jews. By the Jews media. To where, hey, poor, you know, pigs just beating the crap out of the poor nigger here. Just being a good little nigger and getting his ass whipped by pigs. Which happens. I mean, whenever I see niggers and pigs going ahead and killing each other, it's a plus. There's no downside, you know, to niggers and pigs killing one another. In fact, I think pigs are more dangerous than niggers. If there weren't no pigs, white men could go ahead and deal with niggers. But what you had is you had a riot, and I've heard that essentially, you know, Larry Gates or Daryl Gates or whatever the hell his name was, who was the chief of pig lice in Los Angeles, well, he did the same thing he did as a captain in Watts. He went ahead and said, well, let's not go ahead. Let's just let the niggers go ahead and burn shit down. And that's what they did in L.A., well, years later, 20-some years later. Essentially, what you have is when you end up having a nutless, gutless pig, well, what you have is that you have a screw-up just waiting to happen. Now, folks, this is not, you know, essentially, it used to be in the good old days, like, say, in Tulsa, 1921, 1922, essentially when the whites got in a race riot, the whites went ahead, essentially split off and killed the niggers. Now, the niggers would go ahead and fight back, but usually the whites would go ahead and pretty well just burn all the niggers out, send them packing. There was no urban reclamation in Tulsa after 1923 or anything like that, and this was during the boom years. Well, folks, we're past the boom years. Essentially, what we have is that we now have a situation to where you'll have old George Zimmermanser in jail, And they're going to go ahead and wait and wait and wait and hold off the trial because a dumbass went ahead and said he didn't want to go ahead and do it. And what happens is that they went ahead and revoked the bail. Now, suppose they revoked the bail because they pled poverty. Well, that isn't what they should have been pled. I mean, essentially, the only reason for bail is for some, you know, make sure that somebody is supposed to be at trial. But what Zog does is it just goes ahead and throws people in jail, goes ahead and puts an impossible bail that they cannot be meet so they can go ahead and force somebody to have a public pretender. Now, I've told time after time after time and time again is that you don't worry about constitutional rights. You don't worry about the Bill of Goods. Essentially, when it comes time after the collapse to take power, everyone who's a police officer, everyone who's a lawyer, everyone who's a judge, everyone who's a political party official and their family, just go ahead and skin them alive and cut them, you know, run them through a wood chipper and feel, go ahead and feed them to each other, blind and castrate the rest, skin a few, and then the more tractable ones, just go ahead and post a 666 across their forehead. And essentially, for the remainder of that, they'll just go ahead and be the public slaves. And anybody from the old days who wants to go ahead and beat the fuck up, you know, fuck out of these criminals to death, go ahead. Folks, let's understand. There's only sides. There's no such thing as innocence. There's only sides. And what I'm trying to go ahead and say is that this history of Rodney King, Rodney would have probably lived longer if he'd just simply been a typical ghetto nigger and he'd been in prison where the critter belongs. He wouldn't have been around a swimming pool. He wouldn't have had all the smoking dope he wanted or all the crack or all the PCP. He wouldn't have been able to go ahead and get drunk. I mean, niggers, when they're caged up, actually live longer than niggers found in the, quote, Quigger Wild here. You know what I mean? But in any case here, I mean, that's why niggers in Africa are tough here. They're stupid, but they're tough. I mean, usually they don't have a long attention span here. And if you have a camera here going over to Africa to go ahead and show crocodiles and hippopotamuses, I mean, normally they just go ahead and kill and eat niggers. And, you know, you don't have a few niggers running around here. I mean, they wouldn't be spreading all across the continent where they don't belong. But in any case, I'm getting, you know, to the side here. Anyway, folks, this Rodney King essentially was a dead, you know, essentially was just a stupid nigger who was used by the Jews to go ahead and make excuse to have a riot in L.A. That's all it was. That's all it was about. Now, if it was up to me, essentially what would happen, well, it was up to me. We wouldn't have any niggers rioting here. But if it, you know, furthermore, as an interim measure here, put all of these news, you know, news media people here in a nice, you know, in a nice place. Well, bad place here where they could go ahead and be sodomized by niggers. You wouldn't be hearing this crap about poor niggers and their rights and all this sort of thing here. They don't have rights. They're animals. That's all they are. And to expect anything from a nigger other than nigger nature is stupid. But anyway, what I'm going to go ahead and say is that we have, all across the Fruited and Nutted Zog Plain, we have a situation to where, unlike 1992, when there was still room to thieve and there was still some economic lifeblood left in this country, we don't have that situation anymore. We end up having Uyghurs who are no longer even able to take care of themselves, no longer able to pay taxes, no longer go ahead and pay into Social Security, no longer go ahead and do the IOUs, and you have that everywhere, although in Greece there really ain't that many Uyghurs, they're all just sort of brown-skinned people. They're muds of some sort. You have all across the Fruited and Nutted Zog Plain, or the continents, either Europe, all over, you have it to where Uyghurs can't take care of themselves. So what to do? Well, what I say is that essentially what you need to do is understand there's nothing you can do about it. Zog is fucked up. Zog's fucked up in the head, and now it wants to fuck itself up the ass. And what you ought to do is you ought to let it. Don't run around with great movement leaders going to protect you. They're not. All they can do is make a few intelligent suggestions every so often. But most of the time, what you need to do is you need to save yourself. That's what you need to do. You need to save yourself. You need to be right with Yahweh, but you need to save yourself too. So, essentially, what this bowel movement is about here is, well, Zog false fronting, Zog bottery, and other such things here. You need to take care of yourself. Because what we are is we have mainly a wigger problem. Wiggers allowed niggers to run wild. Wiggers allowed Jews to run wild. Wiggers allowed muds to run wild. And now wiggers can't even take care of themselves. So what we have is we have a wigger problem. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break and let Russ... Is Russ still on? Oh, no. Maybe Russ ain't. Oh, boy. I don't see Russ no more. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call this it for the first segment. We had a whole bunch of stuff going by. In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a couple-minute break. Well, because I got to rail against wiggers and predict a long, hot summer coming up here. So, folks, I'm going to take a break, and we will be back in a few minutes. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Till we drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wiggers keep remembering how good Zog used to be. Being taught long ago our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Feel the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop.
Okay, folks, it looks like Rustifer has left the building. It looks like he left the building sometime. Maybe I ought to go ahead and of an afternoon call him while he's still, well, around. Essentially do a pre-show and then just go ahead and play it here. In any case, folks, what I did today is I got plenty of sleep here. Got up at the crack of noon. Did a little garden work. Did a few other little things here. I happened to go ahead and listen to Carolyn Yeager interview heading the Matt Toid, Pearsite, Loveless, Meerkat, or Meerkat, whatever you call it here. And essentially, this was a movement show. It was sort of like a movement turd, other than, well, Carolyn, you know, I did call her up this December, last December, and essentially, she had Finkelschini on, Bill Fink, a.k.a. Finkelschini on, the murderous Jersey City spit killer, as Andy Renarsch calls him. And essentially, I went ahead and asked Carolyn Yeager, and said, excuse me, you are aware that your guest, William Fink, well, I said, this is Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky listed, you are aware that your guest, for a second time, William Fink, spent 12 and a half years in federal prison for killing a prisoner in the Jersey City jail.
Mr. Winston, you do not do yourself any favor by calling in like this. I'm going to have to cut you off.
And she did. And then later on, she pretty well edited out this entire call. The thing about it is, if you're going to go ahead and claim to be a historian or a revisionist historian, what you cannot be seen to do, essentially, is lie about the past. Is go ahead and cover up what the real truth is. And when she did that, well, she lost any respect I may or may not have had for her. The question was whether or not she knew about Fink. The answer, she did know about Fink. She's covering up for Fink. So then the answer is that both if you believe in the Hollow Hoax or you do not, you have someone who you cannot trust to tell the truth. You cannot trust to go ahead and do anything other than cover stuff up. So both the people who don't, you know, the Jews who don't believe in the Holocaust, you'll say, well, hey, she goes ahead, she covers up for this Jew boy who's a Hitler worshiper, who went ahead and is a confirmed lying pig, who went ahead and abused his authority. So, hey, of course she'd go ahead and cover up for Hitler. And then you have the people who, well, are like me, who believe that Hitler was a, well, probably as good a politician as ever existed, and probably as honest a politician as ever existed, but still a man who had to go ahead and use political means in order to achieve certain results. He was not the Archangel Michael, like Finkelschini wants to say. So anyway, here she is. She has a movement show, and you can go ahead and check it out. It's at The White Network. And for whatever reason, Carolyn Yeager hasn't been with The Voice of Retards since May 14th, a month ago. A month or so ago, she was no longer there. She did something. And unlike their little break with Peerless Skank, I guess they decided not to go ahead and air their dirty laundry. So she is up with somebody else having her own little, well, I think it's a Zog false front. What happens is it doesn't look cheaply made, like my webpage, like my forum. It doesn't look amateurish. When something looks really, really, really professional, you got to ask yourself, well, why? Did they go ahead and buy it from a box? And the answer is, well, possibly. But in most cases, they're having Zog help. I think Carolyn Yeager's having, you know, Zog help. So here she comes with hatting the meerkat. And it turns out that for whatever reason, she's not going to allow people to call in. She's not. She doesn't have the means to go ahead and do that. Now, over on Fink's, you know, Crystal Genia show, she's still on there. Still listening. But thanks to the Nimtards, one of the Nimtards, he was able to go ahead and spam the crap out of these talk show shows. Heck, I was able to go ahead and use the, you know, Tor browser to get a little bit of spamming in. But what happens is that Finkelshini is whined and bitched and pissed enough, or somebody has, to where TalkStew has gone ahead and cut down the, quote, script kiddie stuff. The anonymous, you know, they somehow tightened up here, because I went ahead and looked. Finkelshini has his chat room shut down. Shut down, just, you know, old Finkelshini has just gone ahead and shut it down like he shut down his sphincter here. He's in administrative segregation, you know, at the big house. So, since he got ahead and shut things down here, if you go ahead and even use a Tor browser, what it'll do is it'll allow you to have a little bit of time, but it won't allow you to go ahead and enter stuff as long as it is closed off. So what Fink has done is he doesn't allow any chat to go ahead and go on during the chat show. Now, last night I was listening to Elier on Toshiba number 2. And pretty well, John Doe 201, whatever, came in and says, well, I no longer can go ahead and spam like I used to could using a script program because TalkShoe has gone ahead and tightened it up here. So it's not even fun to go ahead and spam no more, Eli. And since essentially no longer have any flooding or anything like that here, why, hey, I just logged on as Finkelshini. Just went ahead and logged on as Finkelshini. No big deal. No problem. And since Eli didn't go ahead and, you know, didn't go ahead and block Finkelshini, didn't go ahead and block all the other guests I was at here. So in many cases, a lot of the spamming has pretty well ended. Not all of it. I mean, folks, I can still go ahead and somebody can log on and try to go ahead and do it. But from what I gather, TalkShoe has fixed the hardcore spamming of these shows. Okay, well, getting back to Carolyn Yeager. Here is Wiggerswill Wheelos. Here is Hay. Wiggerswill. And I'm looking at the comment section here. You have a Douglas Pearson, who's a Covington supporter. Carolyn, please, you know, please have Hattie and Will Williams understand the Herald is more experienced than they are, blah, 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 blah. And essentially, Carolyn, hi, Douglas, I'm glad you have an opportunity to present another view. Of course, I cannot have Hattie and Will Williams do anything, but maybe one will answer you. However, this comment board can't hold all-out debate for the whole history of who said what. Well, Carolyn, I have a question. If you're going to go ahead and have a movement show, and you're going to go ahead and invite Hattie Scott, and then you're going to go ahead and protect him, this is Neil. You're not an honest broker, are you? Are you? Okay. Alrighty, guest number 6. It sounds like TalkShoe fixed the glitch here. Well, essentially, what it does is that it, you know, there's quite a problem with, quote, flooding or spamming. And essentially what happens is TalkShoe did flood, you know, did go ahead and fix the glitch. So now if you go ahead and spam, you might get off 10, 11, 12 before somebody goes ahead and sees you. And I think that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Okay. They disabled enter key until chat fully loads. Well, thank you, number 6. I think you're John Doe, number 201 or whatever here. You're one of the Nimbusters. And last night, the Nimbuster went ahead and came clean and admitted he was a Nimbuster, okay? Not Winstead. Okay? Any case, where am I at here? Well, Hattie is a little bitty meerkat. I disagree with Covington. I think he actually was a, he was a little gopher for Kevin Alfred Strom, who in turn was a gopher for Pierce. That's what he was. That's all he was. Pierce got $400,000, according to Catch Elaine, and I believe her answer ran $300,000 or whatever. And Hattie is pretty well getting his head handed to him, but Don Pauly was saying, well, don't give me this wigger tardation shit here. You can go ahead and threaten to go ahead and do this. You can go ahead and threaten to do that. All across this movement, what we have is we have Will Williams, or Wigger Will Wheelos. You've had him, you have all the, you know, April Gady. You have all these people saying, you cannot say anything about Covington. And what they're doing, you know, these idiots are actually, you know, I'm sure they don't mean to do this, but essentially what they're doing is they're creating, quote, forbidden fruit. They're creating a need or a want to go ahead and see what the hell are these people bitching and pissing and moaning about. And the answer is, you know, the answer is that what Hill Covington is talking about is pretty well one of the main memes in white nationalism today, is that we will go ahead and come to one place and fight a colonial war and seize an island of stability for white people now that Zog is falling apart. We will go ahead and deal with the niggers, the Jews, the race traitor Wiggers, simply by going ahead and killing some of them and running the rest of them off, and we will end up having an ethno-state. Now you can go ahead and have it, oh, highly, quote, intellectualized by someone like Kevin McDonald's, you know, looking to be like a Pierce, and have little meerkats like Hadding or Kevin Alfred Strom or whatever. Kevin Alfred Strom is pretty well out of it, because essentially he pled guilty to child pornography. And so what you have is that you have this little under meerkats, Kevin Alfred Strom and Don Pauly, essentially having their fun. Going ahead, essentially, oh no, you cannot do this. Now folks, I don't believe that there is any movement, that there's going to be any saving Zog here. But on the other hand, there's nothing wrong with simply saving yourself. And if you live in certain places or you don't have anything keeping you in certain locations here, I don't see a single thing wrong with going to Washington, Idaho, Oregon, Western Montana. I don't see a single thing wrong with that. Of course, I don't see anything wrong with going to South Dakota or anything like that here. Essentially, I am somewhat positive toward Harold Covington's beliefs. I don't agree with everything he says, but I'm somewhat, you know, I'm somewhat positive. At least it's doing something. I don't think that anything's going to go ahead and save Zog Babylon. But here you have, essentially, Carolyn Yeager running around in her own little, you know, she sort of seems like the church lady who hasn't had, well, remember when you talk about critters like Hadding, haven't had pussy since pussy had them. Carolyn reminds me of someone who hasn't had dick since dick started it. You know what I mean? I call her old pickle twat or old pickle cunt. I mean, oh, she just goes ahead, essentially has a small mouth and a small vagina, probably small little nipples, small little areoles around her nipples. I mean, essentially what happens is that she's fascinated by dick, but she really, when it comes down to it, doesn't want it at all. So like Hadding. He sort of wants it, but no, he doesn't really want it. He doesn't really have any room for dick. It's not so much they're homosexual, it's more like they're asexual. You know, and folks, I don't have a problem with pornographic illusions. I don't have a problem with admitting that while I was in the Army, I used to monger whores. I mean, you know, I mean, folks, I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem essentially having an X-rated mind and able to go ahead and find humor in about everything. But here is essentially two mental eunuchs going ahead and talking about the whoremongeries of Tubby or anybody else. So what I did is I got up about, I woke up and I went and tried to use the Kindle to listen to while I laying in bed, and it wouldn't work. So I went ahead and fired up the Toshiba number 2 and listened to it, and listened to it a second time. And essentially what was is that, here's my 3 blogs here, and it's paid for, and the Wiggerswill goes ahead and gives me this here, and he somehow managed to go ahead and have a lawsuit against Harold Covington to where he can no longer go to North Carolina. Well, folks, I agree. That's exactly what the entire lawsuit was. It was to run Harold Covington out of North Carolina. Didn't have any legality to it. Essentially, what it was sort of like William Pierce being another little Morse D's, and essentially having has over on Four Fags Thieves admitted that Pierce paid $350 in order to start the lawsuit. He went ahead and took the order money. So, essentially, Hattie Swill is just simply no better than a nigger or an Anglo mestizo being used by Morris Dees. He's just simply a Zogbot who goes ahead and makes bogus claims here, and then essentially Zog is putting his thumb on the scale. Now, the reason Harold Covington is not pursued or anything like that is because a bogus, crooked deal in North Carolina don't mean shit in Texas, and don't mean shit in Washington, don't mean shit in Oregon, don't mean shit in Idaho, don't mean shit in Western Montana, probably don't even mean shit in South Carolina either. Essentially, it was nothing more than Wiggerswill wanting to go ahead and harass, because Covington said, quite correctly, is that Pierce is essentially a Zogbot running an Elohim city for creatards. Now, folks, I have a problem with intellectuals. Intellectuals usually do not have any balls. They don't believe in Yahweh. They don't believe there's going to be an afterlife for them. They're like Jews in that matter, just pure materialism. Pure materialism. Me, I believe that for all my faults that I'm in good with Yahweh. I believe that essentially after a heavy day of skinning and running Whigger children through the through the wood chipper, I believe that I'm going to go ahead and be written in the Book of Life. I'm just simply someone who does what needs to be done so that Yahweh's entire servant nation can survive. Now, if I go ahead and run one of Yahweh's favorites through a wood chipper by accident, why, that person will go ahead and thank me here for enabling him to achieve heaven, which when it took a little while without my help. Yahweh is going to go ahead and forgive me for that here, because I'm on Yahweh's side. In the Bible. So, I don't know if you ever remember, I got for 50 cents the, one of the last VHS things of the Ten Commandments here, the studio edition. What was it? The 50-year edition here. And essentially, here's Charlton Heston said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And then old Edward G. Robinson said, the little lion Weasel Dathan here, and all the rest of them here, just goes ahead and swallows them up here. about 60 years ago, they at least sort of had a better idea of what's in the Bible than they do today. In any case, folks, an intellectual, he worships himself here. He's a solipsist here. He's not smart as, John Q. Wigger's cousin, Mongoloid Hardy, the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy, or Hardy Mongoloid, I forget which here, who claims to have a 200 IQ. He's one of these characters who went ahead and shot a cougar in the face, and I think he may or may not be in prison here. He was 18 months in jail when they finally told him, "Hey, look, you goofy bastard, you plead guilty here. You can go ahead and work on your sentence. Whereas, if you just go ahead and keep on, we're just going to go ahead and keep you into jail for years and years and years and years." And essentially, he went ahead and he pled guilty to being a convicted felon with a gun, and essentially he ended up getting 15. But anyway, He used to be a creator, then he was Woden's only living prophet that lived, and finally he went ahead and came across the idea of solipsism, although, you know, it's sort of like masturbation here. I guess he thinks he invented it here. Essentially what he said is that let's not worship any sky pilots. Let's not go, you know, let's not go ahead and worship any creator in the sky or down there or wherever. Let's not go ahead and pay any sky pilots any money. Let's just go ahead and just worship ourselves. Let's just cut out the middleman. Let's just go ahead and worship ourselves. And I could have told, the Reverend Mongoloid Hardy or Hardy Mongoloid that solipsism, like masturbation, isn't new. Essentially, pretty well every single one of us, essentially has innate a love of ourselves, a love of, well, masturbation, a love of whatever. Essentially, we worship ourselves. And it's only through character and determination that we will ever amount to anything good to anybody else, to our civilization, and to Yahweh. Essentially, what's natural, essentially, is to be a self-serving, stupid wigger running around with your head up your ass, not able to see anything beyond yourself. That's what's natural. It's only when Jesus Christ sees something in you and he decides to go ahead and make something of you that you will achieve anything greater. In any case, Mongoloid Hardy at least has essentially, it sounds crass, I worship myself. I worship me. If you want to worship me and give me money, that's fine by me, but as for me and my house, I'll follow me. Okay. Why, that's not to be. That's not to be, you can laugh at it, but essentially that's exactly what most of the movement is about. It's about me, 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 me. Okay? So, what next? Because every single one of us is going to die. And if things, the way things are going, our race, our people are going to die too. Now, I don't believe it's going to happen because of this great collapse. I believe in year 7, when it really gets to working, Jesus Christ will return. But then again, I'm a man of faith. But I've tried to go ahead and talk to the people who don't have faith that, hey, you can go ahead and pretend to have faith. You can go ahead and learn what you're supposed to learn. And maybe Yahweh will extend you grace because you're of the race. And you will end up, by your actions, going ahead and preceding your beliefs. But in the case of Hadding, in the case of Carolyn Yeager, case of Finkelschini and the rest here, essentially all this is about pretension. Of all the people who have been exposed as creators to cosmetology or cosmotheology, I call it cosmetology, probably the only real believer is Wigger Square Williams. But anyway, Carolyn went ahead and says, I'm so glad you had opportunity. Well, you had opportunity. But essentially, she won't go ahead and allow you to present hardly anything. I'm sort of curious. I may or may not go ahead and put a link to my forum and to the show's archives on this webpage. But Carolyn wanted to have a movement show. So she got a tard like Hadding to give a movement here. In any case here, you'll have a few people who are going ahead and listening to her here. Hadding, there are no goat dancers. This Douglas person, whoever it is, incorporates Covington's mythology in his comment. Well, folks, I've listened to Hadding. Essentially, what Hadding does essentially is say, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not. And what he does, be it on Four Fags Feeds, which has a bunch of National Alliance tards behind the Belgian Sephardic data mining mill, or on VNNF, and certainly on Stormfront, certainly on Whigger News Now, which loves all these intellectuals, essentially having demand censorship. He goes ahead in his various blogs, he says, well, no, it's not that way at all. Now, I remember what, a year or so ago? Here he is trying to prove that Trader Glenn Miller ain't a race trader because he was so young when he went ahead and screwed this Hawaiian or Filipino woman here and had a little mud buyer, and I'm not sure which one was called Rabang. Doesn't really matter, I said, is that, Trader Glenn Miller is not a race trader any more than Jeremy Visser is, because Trader Glenn Miller is an Anglo Mestizo. He got a lot of red nigger in him. That's why he can't go ahead and handle his liquor. He can't handle the white man's fire water. That's why he drinks the way he does. He's been a trader for a long time. He's not a race trader. I mean, what difference does it make red niggers go ahead and marry other brown skinned people from the Philippines or the Hawaiian Islands or from China or from Africa or whatever here? I mean, what's it to me if niggers marry beaners or Jews? I mean, I like it when Jews and niggers marry, because the end result won't be able to go ahead and pretend to be Aryan. In any case, Hanning went ahead and took that particular post down on setting the record straight. Now, I call it fucking the record up. Essentially, what Hanning goes ahead and says, no, it's not true, no, it's not true, no, it's not true. And here's this guy, named Pauly, Don Pauly, who pretty well says on VNNF here, well, no, I ain't going to go ahead and get censored by you, Hanning. I mean, you were kicked off for talking shit about Edgar Steele. We both talk shit about Edgar Steele because we both are worshippers of Kevin Alfred Strom. But essentially, even Pierce's biographer went ahead and said that Bob Matthews gave him something, a brown paper bag, and within the week, he went down to the county seat and paid the $90,000 note on his farm or compound or whatever the hell you want to call it. And he went ahead and wrote that when Pierce was alive. And the author says, well, I thought of going ahead and simply asking, all right, well, did Bob Matthews give you a whole bunch of order money? And then have Pierce say, well, no. Go ahead and deny and end the book. No, the biographer decided to go ahead and just simply bring up something and see what Pierce answered to. And Pierce didn't amount, Pierce was no dummy. What's he going to say? Yeah, I went ahead and took $400,000 or $300,000 from the order here. I'm literally living on order money. Arrest me now. No. That's why people like me think that essentially toward the end when Pierce found out he had pancreatic cancer, essentially Zog said, well, do you want to spend the last few months of your life in a prison cell for knowingly receiving stolen money? And Pierce didn't want to do that. Pierce just went ahead and folded it. He went ahead and gave it to this Eric Leiby, who went ahead and screwed it up. For all you know, the reason there's no money is that maybe Pierce was made to go ahead and give it up. Maybe he was made to go ahead and give it up, and all that's left is the improvements in the land and the rest here, because essentially Pierce acted like a Zog false front. And Harold Covington said that. Harold Covington said that, and for telling the truth, Harold Covington had Wiggerswill file a bogus complaint. And essentially, he was pretty well screwed up. And you can go ahead and listen to yourself. You listen to Jim Giles' interview with Wiggerswill. Now, Hanning was whining like a pussy. Well, Jim Giles, he went ahead and he banned me. Well, first he tarred corralled old Wiggerswill Wheelos. He was yelling and screaming at Wiggerswill Wheelos. If I'd have been Wiggerswill Wheelos, I'd just went ahead and hung up. Now, when I had old Jim Giles yelling and screaming at me, I was in Hog Heaven because I wanted to have Jim Giles screaming about snapping Edgar Steele's neck. And we stopped screaming about that after 9 or 10 minutes. I went ahead and spurred him to screaming against me here. And essentially, I wanted to make Jim Giles chimp out. So, of course, I'm not going to go ahead and hang up and have him stop chimping out. No! Chimp out, Jim Giles. But, I mean, what happens, Jim Giles went ahead and called old Wingerswell out the fly, and what Wingerswell should, you know, didn't want to go ahead and take the, you know, thing, but he wasn't whining about coverage, so he actually told the truth. Essentially, the truth has come out, is that Pierce went ahead and paid $350 to Wingerswell to file a bogus complaint in North Carolina in order to get Covington out of North Carolina, and the crooked judge went along with it and essentially awarded something to Wingerswell and ran Covington away from his home. It wasn't just Will Williams who's done this. It was Pierce, it was Pretty Well, possibly Morris Dees. Essentially, they did whatever they wanted to do. Now, I don't imagine the state governments of Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana are thanking Will Williams for essentially running Covington out of North Carolina. But on the other hand, who knows here? And essentially, the entire purpose of going ahead and doing well that was to go ahead and invite Hadding. And what you have is that you have, essentially, here is Carolyn Yeager trying to go ahead like a good little Zog Falls front and set up, essentially, the mythos that William Pierce was a great man, he was a great revolutionary, he was great this, creativity is the way to go. And, essentially, I like that. I listen to that particular episode 2.5 times. Once live. I then went ahead and listened to it again live. Well, streaming audio. I downloaded it. I went ahead and downloaded it, enhanced it using WavePad, and I'm going to listen to it. And I'm going to catch and I'm going to mine some clips from it. Essentially, what you have is that you have, well, you have Wingerswell, Wheelos, and you have Hadding going into dry mangina heaves or gorbasms over old, Carolyn Yeager letting the meerkat have his little way. Anyway, here it is. They had some elevator music here. I guess it was a Hungarian folk music here. And she has a problem with Mark Weber. Okay. One thing should not do is send any money to the IHR. Yes, this website is great, but remain in any case here. We don't want to get rid of the IHR, but put it under new management. The only material for years there is current news, which could be gotten anywhere. Okay. Well, folks, I wouldn't send any money to Carolyn Yeager. I wouldn't send any to the White Network. Folks, I mean, I was listening to Carolyn Yeager and essentially listening to that old pickle twat go ahead and screech. It was sort of like listening to fingernails being drawn across the blackboard. It was pretty bad here. Anyway, Hadding. I do not believe in conspiracy theories and what happened to IHR. Completely accept here. Essentially, you end up having Hadding going ahead and going with Carolyn Yeager. Folks, she don't like Mark Weber, and I've heard Mark Weber is a Jew. I've heard a number of things. Essentially, Mark Weber is to the left of the great bowel movement tards here. Essentially, what they want to do is they want money, but they want respectability more. And as a result, don't give them money. Because you're not respectable. Okay, and then you have Wingerswell. Hi, Douglas. I'm glad you have an opportunity to present another view. Of course, I cannot have Hadding do anything, blah, blah, blah. There will be nothing from Mr. Pearson's side at Hadding setting the record straight because Mr. Pearson, whoever he might be, is one of those crazy or extremely gullible folks Hadding described in your show yesterday who believe what Covington writes. No short, Wingerswell. You can only prosper where there's censorship. Over a sperm front, you get censorship. For Will Williams and against Covington. And against myself, too. I'm banned there as well for life. But I'm on there as a sock puppet. Over on VNNF, well, hey, you end up having a bunch of other tards here. Now, over on Hunter Wallace's forum, I'm not banned. Essentially, Hunter Wallace realizes is that Wiggerswill doesn't have his best interests at heart. Wiggerswill actually posted a new post over there, and then I went ahead and ridiculed the crap out of it. And folks, all these characters here, they're just like Jews. They've got to impose censorship. They've got to impose their way upon everyone. So in any case, the urban legend threads in this supposed highbrow academy session. Here, Wiggerswill is making fun of four-fag Thebes here. He goes on, Hack can't even visit North Carolina Hanning without risking arrest for the outstanding warrant on his contempt of court in Williams versus Covington, much less can't reside in his home state again. Tar Heel still thanked me for that, as do his brothers Forrest and Ben. You know, blah, 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 blah. Okay. He's going ahead saying, your chat with Hanning about his journey toward truth is both enjoyable and informative. I don't agree with everything said about the Alliance of Dr. Pierce, but that's because his perspective on things is a little different from mine. Well, folks, Hoyerswell is not able to understand that Pierce did not have a high opinion of creatards. Pierce was saying is that both the Aryan nations, you know, screw up. Essentially, Mamzer criminals coming in was bad for the National Alliance, and that the creatards and the NSM and the uniformed Nazis were bad news. Okay. Where did Wiggerswill come from? Well, he came from old Benny Buttflock Klassen. He came from the creatards. That's where he came from. Essentially, Wiggerswill seems more and more, just like Covington says, a professional Zogbot, a professional Zog agent provocateur, essentially running around just acting like a Jew enforcer. Now, 30 days in jail, if I wanted to go back to North Carolina, face down this judge, say, hey, your contempt charge is bullshit, 30 days is nothing. Hell, I got what? 22 counts and 660 days from Kevin Lee Selby. Illegal as hell. You see, whenever there is a, quote, contempt charge here, essentially the whole idea is that a judge can do whatever the hell he wants to. But in reality, even in Missouri, is that if it's a criminal contempt, what you're supposed to do is there's supposed to be a jury trial as to whether or not that was lawful. It's supposed to be in front of a judge other than the particular judge. Essentially, it's a problem in that what you have is that you have a regime which claims that it has a right to rule but doesn't want to go ahead and actually be under law. I sort of think that for every day a judge holds someone in contempt, and if it isn't a contempt charge, that judge should spend one full year in jail for every day that he goes ahead and makes a bogus contempt charge. Folks, if the law is not under the law, then all you end up having is people like me enjoying what's going on, because essentially, we don't believe in Zog's Law either. We believe that it's a matter of size. It's a matter of race. If you're not of the white race, you're not on Yahweh's side, then you need to die. And unlike, I'm not waiting. I'm not building an ark today. What I'm doing is I'm throwing matches and gasoline. But anyway, I was listening. If you go ahead and listen to that here, here's Wiggerswill essentially thanking Carolyn Yeager for essentially protecting, letting a lane of protective censorship against anybody who says something else. And if you go ahead and listen to Carolyn Yeager's screechy, screechy, screechy voice here, interviewing a little meerkat who's not able to go ahead and show up on his own here. When I called up Jim Giles, how do you want to argue with me? He wanted to go ahead and avoid that. He's just a little meerkat pussy who will head for the hills any time there is opposition. Anytime that there's any chance here that he can go ahead and be made to account, he's going to go ahead and do that. It seems to me, listening to Hadding, is that Hadding is yet another one of these little intellectual losers on the edge of society who can only go ahead and be just like a little meth whore or something like that here. The pigs go ahead and give them some confiscated dope and then have, well, a little meth goober snitch. And that's what Hadding is. Essentially, you end up having people like Trader Glenn Miller and Whigger Swell Williams going ahead, essentially, and paying off these little tars, be they Hadding or be they someone else here. Folks, you don't hear why Carolyn Yeager no longer works at the relatively higher Voice of Retards. Voice of Retards was a step down from Republic Broadcasting when Peter O'Skank got thrown out. It was a little VNNF radio. And essentially what you end up having is you end up having in the movement, you will end up having, okay, your little Republic radio for your overall patriotards. And then you will end up having Voice of Retards here. And then you'll end up having, well, this new white news, whitenetwork.com. And then on the other hand, in talk show, you'll have Eli James and Finkelschini letting in every little mamzer around. And then you will end up having, like this show, True Bowel Movement Guerrilla Radio. To where, essentially, since there's no advertisers, essentially, there's no plan. There's essentially, well, the only plan that I tell you folks to do is to save yourself. Don't send any money to anybody in the bowel movement. You might quietly go ahead and move up to the Northwest, or you might move somewhere else. But let's understand something. Zog is falling apart. Zog is pretty well on its last legs. And what you ended up seeing, well, today, was a dead nigger who essentially did stupid nigger shit, typical nigger behavior, and he's dead. And people are going ahead and looking at what happened 21 years ago, or 20 years ago, and pretty well, you're going to end up having this happen all over the place. As Zog falls apart, niggers are no longer fed. They think Whitey owes them. They no longer fear Whitey. And what you're going to do is you're going to see a lot of desperate shooting. You're going to see a lot of desperate killing. You're going to go ahead and see things falling apart. I think this is the beginning of a rather long, hot, miserable summer. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Check the chat. Hail victory, folks.
They had passwords that only the initiated understood, and signals which meant everything or nothing. A night bird was a messenger, a day bird a courier. They knew the names or the numbers of the pursuing regiments from the shoes of their horses, and told the nationality of troops by the manner in which twigs were broken along the line of march. They could see in the night like other beasts of prey, and hunted most when it was darkest. No matter for a road, so only there was a trail, and no matter for a trail, so only there was a direction. When there was no wind, and when the clouds hid the sun or the stars, they traveled by the moss on the trees. In the daytime, they looked for this moss with their eyes, and in the nighttime, with their hands. Living much in fastnesses, they were rarely surprised, while solitude developed and made more acute every instinct of self-preservation. By degrees, a caste began to be established, free to come and go, bound by no enlistment and dependent upon no bounty, hunted by one nation and apologized for by the other, merciful rarely and merciless often loving liberty in a blind, idolatrous fashion, half reality, half superstition, holding no crime so bad as that of cowardice. Courteous to women amid all the wild license of pillage and slaughter, steadfast as faith to comradeship or friend, too serious for boastfulness, and too near the unknown to deceive themselves with vanity. Starved today and feasted tomorrow, victorious in this combat or decimated in that, receiving no quarter and giving none. Astonishing pursuers by the swiftness of a retreat, or shocking humanity by the completeness of a massacre. A sable fringe on the blood-red garments of civil war, or a perpetual cutthroat in ambush in the midst of contending Christians. Is it any wonder that in time the guerrilla organization came to have captains and leaders and discipline and a language and fastnesses and hiding places and a terrible banner unknown to the winds?
Okay, folks, we're back. It looks like a few people went ahead and left, and a few actually went to do other things here. Joe, he had to do something else, and, well, it looks like we still have, well, Newscock or something like that. I heard he was all mad at me, and he was going to go ahead and hold the show head-to-head. And from what I gather, I went ahead and went over to his show on Toshiba number 2. What I particularly do not like about Firefox, the new Firefox, is now it forces you to essentially upgrade to Firefox 13.0.0. And pretty well the only, well, Toshiba number 1 and Toshiba number 2, I now have Firefox 13.0.0. And as a result, I'm not able to go ahead and get a timestamp in the window. So I'm having to go ahead and break open the compact number 1 to go ahead and save the chat. So I went over to the Newskike show, and essentially he went ahead and closed up his show. I'm not sure how long he was yakking here, maybe for an hour, hour and a half here. And what you end up having in this movement, essentially, is that you have more and more and more people podcasting, and fewer and fewer and fewer of them have anything to say. I was going ahead and writing about, someone sent them up, these four different people, Metzger, John the Nutjob, Tom Robb, and Eric Gleeby. And essentially, I went ahead and pretty well dismissed all of them in short work. Because what happens is that every single one of these movement leaders have a good deal of baggage. And about the only one who really has any room left is probably Harold Covington. And let me just say, he has his own baggage as well. But if you, you know, I mean, and it's not really a Christian identity thing. About 2 weeks ago, he was going ahead and he let his little tards scream and holler about how their, you know, Christian identity is retarded or something like that. And who cares? I mean, worshiping yourself, worshiping your own little individual me God is pretty lame. It doesn't amount to any, you know, it doesn't amount to anything. And so I don't worry about too much here. The problem that Covington has is that there is sort of like the same problem that Abraham had in keeping Yahweh from destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. There's not 1,000 people in the Zog land who really are warlord material just yet. He's not going to go ahead and get 1,000 alphas. He's not going to get 500. He's not going to get 100. He's not going to get 50. He'll maybe get about a dozen or so supporters. Now, there's nothing wrong, in my view, with going ahead and enjoying Covington's entertainment. And folks, if you want to go ahead and send him some money, that's fine by me. And folks, like I've said before, there's nothing wrong if you don't have any responsibilities, if you're young, especially if you're young, or if you're old and you don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. You might as well go ahead and go to Valhalla land and not have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out up there. But in any case, so I don't you know, I mean, of all the people in this movement who at least have something, where we're talking about doing something, Harold Covington is the only one who actually, well, has actually gone ahead and accomplished anything that I can see over the last 10 years in this movement. Covington got ahead and went to the Northwest, I think, in May of 2002. In May of 2002. And what happens is that Pierce died in what, early July 2002? Essentially, VNNF, Stormfront, the rest here, they have a lot of members. And what it is Whiggers looking for something. Looking for something to go ahead and save them, because people are beginning to realize that things are not in very good shape. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And this show has an answer. The answer is save yourself. Save yourself, because Zog is not going to be saved. Your local regime is not going to be saved. What happens, your local regime doesn't even have fair, free, honest elections. That's why I put that post about. Yeah, the Republican Party in Newton County has pretty well got it to where essentially they don't face any opposition from the Democrats anymore. And I think the Democrats are smart to do that, because by going ahead and reducing the amount of people who show up to vote, they're going to go ahead and make sure that Claire McCaskill gets reselected again, because they need places like Newton County. So essentially what happens, the Obongo supporters are pretty well set, told the local Democrats, don't bother running anybody for county office, because we don't want Newton County voters coming in to vote against essentially anybody. So what happens, we're going to go ahead and take the Democrat voters and tell them to simply either boycott the election or to vote for Obongo. And essentially what happens is what the Republicans are doing is that they are winning by default, but essentially their default don't mean nothing, because what they're doing is they're not holding open, free, fair, honest elections at all. I'm going to go ahead and read from this thing that, you know, came out Thursday night. I thought of going ahead and not doing the show Thursday night because didn't really have anything to say. But here it is. Sheriff's race heating up again. Candidates stump at political fair. The race for Newton County Sheriff is hotly contested again this election year, with Sheriff Ken Copeland squaring against federal Republican challenger Mike Langland. The two swapped jabs Thursday evening in front of a crowd of nearly 200 area Republicans at a candidate fair hosted by the Newton County Republican Central Committee and held at the Lampo Building. Copeland, who has served as Newton County Sheriff since 2004, cited his 30 years of law enforcement experience and 8 years as sheriff as he works to win a third term. Langland, who served in law enforcement for nearly 20 years, until he was fired by Copeland, or Ron Durge, because Durge, you know, wanted to go ahead and have his little mini-me Copeland become the sheriff, cited experience working as an international police advisor in Iraq as well as Newton County deputy as giving him the skills needed for the position. In short, what he was a mercenary who went ahead and killed and tortured people over there. Well, on the other hand, Copeland possibly kills people and certainly loves torturing. I mean, essentially going ahead and doing every little dirty trick he can against, the little people. I'll go ahead and tell about Copeland's behavior a little bit later, but let me go ahead and go through this here. Langland said he heard a story alleging Copeland's family member was involved in a theft incident in northern Newton County. He also alleged that Copeland had performed a closed-door investigation on the matter. Well, I wouldn't be surprised. My understanding was the parties injured did not want to pursue any criminal charges, Langland said. One could say no harm, no foul, except we have a sheriff involved in investigating a possible crime in which a family member was involved. Langland also cited a cease and desist letter allegedly from Copeland's attorney. I've been blown up, shot at, and stabbed, Sheriff Copeland. I don't intimidate well, Langland said. Copeland denied Langland's allegations. It's unfortunate you could get up here and say anything you want, make any untrue allegations you want to, Copeland said. That being said, let me tell you what's true. In 2000, you elected me to be your sheriff. You put your trust and support in me. And again, in 2008, you apparently thought I was doing a pretty good job because, again, you put your support and confidence in me. I've not let you down one time. No, not one time. Copeland added that every major crime occurring in Newton County, Earth Watch has been solved and cited as experience serving in two major tornadoes and a church shooting. Well, Copeland, from what I gather, this big tornado that you had in Joplin was in Jasper County. The one in 2008, well, you didn't do anything. You didn't do a dang thing. I mean, there wasn't anything you could do about it. As far as the church shooting, I got to meet the shooter. He was a Samoan named Sammons. Well, this guy was a pretty good guy. Essentially, I'm not sure if he was being properly charged or not for molesting his 14-year-old niece or something like that. But what he did is, while I was in Nut House in August 2007, he went ahead and went to the church and shot a whole bunch of the people who accused him. He might even kill the cocksuckers. So, actually, this guy was quite the gentleman. He was always polite to me. He was always, essentially, he acted like a gentleman every single time here. I mean, I don't know if it was true about the 14-year-old niece. But then again, you got to understand, among niggers and beaners or something like that. I mean, folks, I've been in Nut House. Had a bunch of nigger wenches awaiting trial here for essentially mainly killing their babies. Something like that here. And every single time, these nigger girls will tell you that they were molested by daddy or brother or uncle or cousin when they were 8 or 9 or, sometimes as old as 10, 11, or 12. That's what niggers do. Niggers are animals. They don't realize that you're not supposed to go ahead and stick your dick in, well, a family member. Other than your wife, of course. And certainly not young females here. Underage females. Now, the whole purpose here, I mean, the whole age of consent thing originated in England when these rich, drooling wiggers were essentially screwing these poor little girls here and telling them that they would marry them and getting them pregnant and knocked up. And that's where the entire age of consent thing came. That's where the entire statutory rape came in here. Because, folks, it used to be out on the Lone Prairie that our people, in many cases, especially in places like Mississippi and Alabama, Jerry Lee Lewis, I like Jerry Lee Lewis here. Now, I didn't really like his music here, but essentially, he went ahead and married his 13-year-old cousin. And he got a lot of crap for it here. And I go ahead and I look at it and think, well, what the hell? Or Mormons. The Mormons get a hard time here for essentially marrying under 16-year-old pussy. And, folks, I mean, I don't know if it's up to me. The ancient Chinese used to go ahead and measure a soldier's height from his feet to his shoulders because they looked at it. A neck and a head was just something to lop off here. I mean, a soldier is useful. A soldier's useful properties ended where his shoulders began. I sort of think the split tail's height ought to be measured from her feet to about maybe her tits. You know what I mean? Include was mainly useful in a female. Now, only, if it's up to me, had daughters, I go ahead and raise them as Mormons to be obedient to men, and then pretty well take the pick of the litter, and then maybe instruct them in Christian identity and make them understand is that you don't tell men what to do, of course. But, you know, in any case here, folks, in the history of this country, it used to be not a big deal to go ahead and essentially have, well, women, you know, girls as, well, essentially when they were able to squeeze one out, that's what they were for here. And folks, that was the whole purpose of this country, is to go ahead and slaughter all the damned red niggers and pretty well filth for white people from sea to sea. And anything normal, as far as I'm concerned, that goes ahead and helps that out here, why, hey, I don't have a problem with it. Don't have a problem with it here. It doesn't say anything in the Bible about, well, essentially, Moses's father married his own aunt. And Abraham married his first cousin. Isaac married his first cousin. Jacob Israel married two of his first cousins. Now, I'm not saying that I would recommend doing something like that nowadays. There's plenty of other pussy, white pussy, in the ocean here. But on the other hand, why, I'm the result of my great-grandfather, Charles Samuelson. When he came across, he went ahead and brought over the Svensons and the Swensons and the Ericksons, and he married one of the Swenson or Svenson, you know, I guess she didn't have an anglicized name until he married her. But he went ahead and married a second cousin. And I don't think it hurt any of the family. The family that I'm a little bit dodgy about is the Osbournes here, who are, lowland Scots here, and Strathclyders, and, you know, that sort of bunch here. They're the ones who act a little bit nutty, but and mean. But in any case here, getting with it here, how did I get, you know, I'm sort of like Gene Scott, but I talk more than Gene Scott. They were talking about Gene Scott, I think, on the Newskike show. When I got out of the Army, you know, out on the farm, we didn't have cable TV. Essentially, what I did is I bought me an antenna, put it up there, and you get three channels, CBS, NBC, and ABC. And out of KSN, you had Gene Scott from 1 to 3 o'clock, and Gene Scott would usually sit in a hat and, you know, casual clothes, sitting in a director's chair, essentially, occasionally flipping through his Bible, very seldom teaching anything, and you have a whole bunch of characters with phone banks, sort of like a Jerry Lewis telethon for Tards. Essentially, I have not got any money. I'm going to go ahead and close down Kansas State Network. And essentially, he did go ahead and close it down because I guess it wasn't sending enough money. But I used to see Gene Scott go ahead, essentially, and not say a dang thing. And on the Newskike show or somewhere else, they were just saying it was that one time Gene Scott didn't say a single thing for 4 hours. He just looked into the camera, you know, rather belligerently. He was not amused by people not sending him any money. Well, folks, you don't need to send me any money, but I do go ahead and tend to ramble quite a bit. Okay. Then goes ahead about Commission District 1, Alan Cook, Henry O. Stout. Stout, who worked for the Newton County Sheriff's Department in the last 25 years, hopes to continue serving the county by taking office. He says it's important to look for waste in the county budget and cited past farm insurance and management experience as helping him relate to many county residents. What happens, Stout is a Newton County pig. And about a week after they went ahead and stole the grandkids, based upon that here, you know, here comes this piece of pig shit named Bashir's. And Bashir's, well, essentially tells me that he wants to, he wants Stout to go ahead. He wants me to go over to Newton County. And I told this piece of shit, you know, I mean Bashir's, he was a crooked, dirty little pig with a twisted arm and even more twisted soul. I said, look, I'll tell you what, you just tell this Henry Stout, you tell you go ahead and tell Ron Durge that, yeah, I'll talk to him. But what they're going to do is they're going to come out to my house, and I'm going to go ahead and put up a video camera, and they can go ahead and ask me a question. I'm going to go ahead and ask them a question. And that way we're going to go ahead and hold an interview, as many as you want, on a fair and equal basis. And essentially, from my gather, Henry Stout and Ron Durge, who was sheriff at the time, Ken Copeland was running for sheriff against a crowded field, including old Mike Langland. And this was, essentially, I got arrested a number of things for talking back to pigs. And old Mike Langland went ahead and looked in there, and essentially here are these two pigs threatening to taser me. Essentially, if I don't show them respect, they're going to taser me. See, pigs were using tasers as essentially torture weapons in early 2004. Threatening, go ahead, torture prisoners, with, you know, handcuff prisoners with tasers. Sort of like Finkelstein did against the Puerto Rican. Folks, that's why it tells me is that a pig is a waste of skin. I love it when niggers. I mean, folks, when the nigger versus pig body count goes ahead, you know, I usually don't much care for niggers. But when niggers kill pigs, I mean, to me, that's a good nigger. I really respect a nigger that kills pigs. I really like a nigger that kills pigs. Now, I don't believe in letting them live in a white country here. But essentially, I go ahead and load up a bunch of pigs spawn here and let the nigger sodomize them all he wants to. And essentially, a pig is a lower form of life than a nigger in my book here. And especially if it's a wigger pig. Now, most wigger pigs essentially are pussies. Most of them, being Anglo mestizos like Copeland, why, they're especially mean and vicious here. But going on. What happens, old Henry Stout, I heard later here, is that essentially they decided they're going to go ahead and say that I was guilty because I refused to go ahead and be interviewed by, you know, Henry O. Stout. Well, there's a picture of Henry O. Stout here. Folks, the critter's a pig. Yeah, you can go ahead and see him here, and essentially, he looks like an Anglo mestizo pig. I mean, you know, Roxy isn't running against him, but there's this other character who was on the OSHA forums, Heather Bowers. She went ahead and didn't say a word to me. She went ahead and paid out $50 to go ahead and run for the other county commissioner. And essentially, well, I told Kay Baum to go ahead and when she wins the primary, just go ahead and give her the money back. But let me go ahead and go to the very bottom. Nick Myers, committee chairman, says, important to note that many of the races will be decided in the August 7th primary, as there are no Democrats running for the county seats. However, there are two Libertarian candidates on the ballot. Roxy Fosnot of Granby is seeking the District 1 commissioner seat, and Heather Bowers of Neosho is seeking the District 2 commissioner seat. Now, on the county commissioner, you end up having this former mayor, Rick McCauley, who formerly served as Granby mayor, spoke of his experience as mayor, council member, and board member on the East Newton Board of Education. Rick McCauley is a total pussy. He went ahead and let this pig run wild in early 2004. Okay? Let me see. Where are the women? The answer is that you end up having women. And you're going to end up having more and more women. You're going to end up having women like Axel Sally. There was a, you know, I mean, there are women in the movement. The question is that, and folks, in any relationship, one person will have more power than the other. I remember I went ahead and said as much to my sister. And she said, well, that's nonsense. Marriage is a 50-50, is a 50-50 thing. I said, oh? Okay. Who sleeps in the wet spot? Who goes ahead and sleeps in the wet spot on the bed after sex? You know, for someone who, you know, I mean, folks, I mean, this may not occur to Hattie. This may not occur to Carolyn Yeager. But, folks, let me just tell you. usually after sex, there is almost always a wet spot. Yeah. And in any case, I went and asked my sister, well, who sleeps in the wet spot of the bed after sex? She says, well, no one does. We go ahead, we bring a towel. Okay. That's for people who go ahead and find out. Well, the hard or soft or wet way, there usually is a wet spot left on the bed after sex. So then the question of it is, I asked her, well, who brings the towel? My sister didn't want to answer that question. Presumably, the one who brings the towel is the one who's going to sleep on the wet bed, bed after sex here. I like Axel Sally. I'm not sure she's Corina Burt. I don't think she is, but in any case, Axel Sally has a bunch of rather mean-spirited common sense. She goes ahead and tells that most people are not special. They're really just average. And that's what the vast majority of the population is made out of. And she also went ahead and told people, most wiggers, don't expect your woman to go ahead and follow you because she's a racist or anything like that. If she's just willing to go ahead and lie to you in order to go ahead and get her way with you, essentially, if the goona turns bad and she wants to leave, she can go ahead and say, you're a big old racist, you're not going to see your kids no more. Essentially, you're going to go ahead and pretty well screwed. So, folks, I mean, she said, and I believe the same thing, is that what you need to do is if you want to have a woman, get the woman to be loyal to you. Get the woman to be loyal to you. And then later on, you can maybe, if she's loyal to you, you can have her be loyal to the church, be loyal to this, be loyal to that. Now, my mother, she didn't much care for Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God because she couldn't go ahead and, fry up bacon no more. But, and later on, I went ahead and essentially in many cases she resented my dad, even though he went ahead, and she wasn't too smart, he went ahead and went and took her and gave her four kids, and she wasn't really grateful to my dad. And that's a little bit of a thing that I have a little bit against her. But then again, I mean, she's not a mean person. She's not a smart person. She is what she is. And back then, women didn't have much choice, most of them. We had a stable society. Now we have an unstable society in which women are supposed to go ahead and be against men and supposed to go ahead and get rid of their first husband, have one kid to trap the man, and then have a nigger or beaner boyfriend. And we need to take care of pigs who do that. So where are the women? Folks, there's plenty of women. There is plenty. And I'm not going to go ahead and go K.D. Lang David Lane went ahead and recommended. But there is something in what David Lane went ahead and wrote. Most women follow or are loyal to a man. Not to an idea, not to a movement, but to a man. Okay? Anyway. Let me see. Well, folks, I believe, I actually believe that women, there will be women in heaven. But it also said is that there's not going to be marriage. That's what Christ went ahead and told the Sadducees and pretty well derailed their little trick against the Pharisees, is there would not be no marriage or giving in heaven. In marriage. So, where was I? Any case, as far as a practical thing, I mean, guys, what you do is, and folks, you know, I mean, I don't think Covington is running a dating service or anything like that here. But on the other hand, what you do is you go ahead and go with the women who are going to go ahead and be loyal to you. Reason I'm with Roxy is that, yes, she's fat. She's one hell of a cook. But she's emotionally stable. So we've been getting together for 25 years. And she couldn't have any kids because she was fixed. But on the other hand, I had four grandkids. Didn't much care for Emily. Still don't care for Emily, my stepdaughter. But I love my four grandchildren a great deal. And I love the girl, the one girl, Helen, the best of all. And I think of them every night. I pray for them every night. I pray they'll be able to come back. I'm looking essentially at a bunch of Republicans who are pretty well set it up to where, just like all the Republicans, they think the white people need to vote for them to protect their money, protect against the niggers, protect against the rest here, but they will sell white people out in a heartbeat. And so what they will do is they will go ahead and destroy the whole basis of having elections, a.k.a. free, fair, honest elections, by going ahead and making a law to where a bureaucrat can go ahead and kick somebody out because he doesn't do what the bureaucrat says to do. And to me, I mean, essentially, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a Republican Party member, you've written your death warrant. You've gone ahead, essentially, and sold you and your family into slavery because you have to pay for the crimes which your party, your political party, went ahead and made. There's no excuse for going ahead, essentially, and taking the best of our race has to make. Taking a limited amount of what remains, selling out the race, and then expecting that you and your family are going to go ahead and live because you're a traitor. This entire show is about saying that we have a Whigger problem. We are in the state we are at because of thieving Whiggers who went ahead and let in the Jews, who went ahead and let in the niggers, let in the beaters. And until such time as that the entire edifice is torn down to the very foundations, there can be no change. Now, in case of Copeland, I have every belief that Copeland went ahead, essentially, and just like any third world country, goes ahead and uses the power of his office to do whatever the hell he wants to. In the Newton County Jail, you end up having every little jailer with the ability to go ahead and write up a disciplinary action against an inmate, saying they can't go ahead and see his family because, you talk back to him. Folks, I got 14 days of not being able to see Roxy because two little deputies out there, full-blooded pigs, got to go ahead and say, well, you talked bad to me. You threatened me. You did this. You did that. Look, the whole purpose of the jail is not to go ahead and torture somebody into confession here. But since you believe it is, the whole purpose of jails is to go ahead, essentially, and force people to have a public pretender and have a bogus trial, don't be whining when summarily you're tortured into confessing and you and your family are destroyed. There is a penalty for treason. The penalty for treason is death. During the time of the Israelite kings, Yahweh, went ahead and overturned many of them. Went ahead and overturned Jeroboam's kingdom. Went ahead and allowed Baasha. Went ahead and actually plotted to destroy Ahab's regime. There is not a single regime on this earth that is not of Satan, and therefore at enmity against Yahweh. Oh, I want to go ahead and say for this particular one, there's this Whitney Saporito. She sounds like either a Jap or a Wampus. Essentially, I went ahead and talked to her about why I was kicked off the ballot. You don't see a single thing about that in there here. Doesn't even say Martin Lindstedt was kicked off because of a dispute over a particular rule. Folks, these people who go ahead and write up a juice paper, who write up a number of other things here, by going ahead and censoring things or not mentioning things here and purporting to go ahead and speak the truth, they themselves are committing treason against the white race. Now, I don't know if Will Whitney is committing treason because she probably is a member of the white race even more than Copeland is. But I sort of think that, well, newspaper reporters and editors, I sort of think that they ought to be given a chance to write a retraction. And what happens if you like the retraction? You go ahead and tattoo it on their hides and the hides of the family members. If you don't like their retraction, you go ahead and you heat up a branding iron. And you go ahead and print the retraction using the branding iron upon their hides. Then you wait for about a couple weeks for them to heal, and then you skin them out. You post their hides to what is now the outhouse wall, their former places of business. Therefore, there will be far more responsible reporting, or there ain't going to be any reporting. There's just going to be word of mouth. Now, on the show, I try to go ahead and tell the truth. I may make some mistakes, but I do go ahead and work real hard to go ahead and tell the truth. There's no, weasel words. There's no lying. There's no playing games. I go ahead and say directly that I have nothing but hatred for these people. Speaking of which, over on the Mamzer barrel, over on Stumbleton, old and gelded, intrepid Steve Brower went ahead and said he was 30 years old. The character looks like he's more like his late 30s or early 40s. I guess being a Mamzer faggot here will go ahead and age you. Engelded, he didn't know quite what to say here because, he knew that I'd go ahead and, he's sort of scared that I'll go ahead and send an email or something here to his nigger and Jew and beaner buddies about how he's pretending to be a white supremacist. But folks, I don't hide anything. I don't bother hiding anything. But this lying little bitch went ahead essentially and printed up a bunch of horseshit, happy, happy, joy, joy horseshit about essentially how the process is working, and you have a whole bunch of tards who went ahead and showed up to see these Republican politicians. But, one thing, I got to laugh that the Democrats have figured out pretty well boycott Newton County and boycott any reason for most of the weak-lined Republicans to go ahead and show up in the general election. Go ahead and boycott any reason to go ahead and fill the primaries. Okay? That's not quite an answer to the question. I'm not quite sure what the question is here. Frank Wigger might be right. I don't know. What happens is I was going ahead and putting in... Oh, by the way, folks. By the way. Let me see how long I've been yakking here. Folks, what I did is I was going ahead and looking up what Bertrand Comparet wrote. By the way... Over on Gerald Mosley's, IsraelElect.com, he went ahead and took over the Church of True Israel last year, after September, when pretty well their webpage went down. What he's doing now is he's taking off the HTML page that the Church of True Israel used to have. He's going ahead and transferring it to PDF, allowing Clifton Emmaheiser to people say, yeah, the copyright was full of shit in this regard. He's going ahead and put it in PDF, so essentially people can't go ahead and look at it or save it easily. Or essentially repost it unless they go ahead and send whatever the hell Clifton Emmaheiser had to say too. And this is on Jarrell Moseley and this Seth Griffin from Arkansas. All these tards have sort of taken over somehow. That's why I went ahead and noticed. So what I did is I went to wayback.org, the Wayback Machine, essentially, and downloaded a bunch of stuff from the Wayback Machine and then put the links there. And working on Covington's material, or not Covington, but Comparé's material. Now, the problem is that the Bible doesn't really tell us what happened before the earth became null and void several thousand years ago, or even millions of years ago. And neither does it say for sure what is going to happen after Judgment Day and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem comes down as established as Yahweh's eternal kingdom. There are a number of things which are not said before or after a certain point. And unlike Joe Waterhouse, unlike a number of other people, I don't really much care to speculate. And the reason I don't care to speculate is that I don't think it's an answer. I don't think that I really know. So I don't have a problem with Frank Wigger saying, well, there, let's say you were born a spit terror, you went to heaven, you were written in the book of life, you made it. Will Yahweh go ahead and pave in your spiritual, heavenly, eternal life body the hole and, make you grow a pole the way you're hung better than Janet Reno? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I don't think anybody else does either. Okay? Huh? So, anyway, well, with Wesley Swift here, I mean, I don't have a problem in believing that 17,000 B.C. or 17,000 years ago, that Satan, when he was governor of the dog star of the planet Dogon, went ahead and brought niggers and put them in East Africa and put them there. And the answer is that essentially Yahweh created Adam. Okay? And to be honest with you, I'm far more of a Comparean than I'm a Wesley Swift believer. But, folks, does it really matter where niggers came from? I mean, I have a pretty good idea where they should go. But I'm not too sure scriptural about where they came from. You know what I mean? Let's see here. Oh, in any case here, I mean, you end up, if you say you take the Bible literally, you'll still find yourself forced to when you don't know exactly what the heck it says, you're going to end up having to go ahead and do a lot of quick shuffling. And me, I don't care to do that. In many cases, I don't really know. It's just easier for me to say I don't know and have done with it. Okay? So, And by the way, Frank and Wigger's sense of humor, it's bigger than my own sometimes here. And sometimes I don't. I remember one time when old Frank and Wigger, when I was fighting with Eli or James Halloween, he said that he was a member of NAMBLA, the North American Marlon Brando Lookalike. You know, North American Marlon Brando Lookalike, Association. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we will be back in just a little bit. I'll go ahead and look at the chat. So, folks, hail victory. Blow the horn, let Zion hear, for God's day is now at hand. Let the people tremble in this day of clouds and gloominess. Troops so great and mighty strong, there has never been the like. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. Fire before them shall devour, flames ablaze are left behind. Such as Eden was shall become a wilderness that's desolate. Like the noise of chariots, and as horsemen do they run. Nothing shall escape as they devour the stubble on their way. People are faint at their sight, for they run like mighty men. Moving each on his own way, they do not tangle in their paths. Each does follow his own line, climbing walls like men of war. Then they charge as warriors and advance like fighters on their way. They upon the city leap, break through weapons each unharmed. Run upon the walls and climb in houses, through the windows leap. Earth is quaking as they come, heaven shakes, stars cease to shine. Then the eternal thunders and the sun and moon become both black. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, hail him who saved you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Let every Aryan of every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe, and hail him, Lord God of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and hail him, Lord God of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all, we'll join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all. Okay, folks, we're back. I was looking at the chat here. We had quite a bit of discussion about the nature of the female essence here. And you'll have among people, you know, off the record, a good deal of discussion about how Lilith was Satan's daughter, and that yes, she was essentially married to Adam first here, and essentially that's where some of the giants came from. Lilith was a sort of Esther quasi spiritual Caicus or something like that here. And in any case, Poopy Dog went ahead and said it best in that what we do when we try to go ahead and think about what goes on the spiritual realm, we really don't know. I don't think we're really capable of knowing. All we can do is sort of speculate. And unlike Gerald Waterhouse, this old windbag from the Worldwide Church of God, who used to be proud about keeping people in for 5 hours at a time before he got his ass chewed, told not to do that anymore because he had a whole bunch of little kids here with small bellies who couldn't essentially go 5 hours without eating, without getting sick. You know, and that did come up. That did come up here one time. And in any case, I really don't much care to speculate. Generally, I sort of believe that the Septuagint is the more correct translation, and that, you know, essentially creation occurred with an extra 800 or 900 years, maybe an extra 1,000 years before the 4004 BC, by, you know, taken from the Masoretic text here by the Bishop, you know, Usher of Ireland or whatever, to where essentially creation occurred at either 9:15 a.m. or 9:15 p.m. or whatever on September 1st, 4004 BC, adding 4,000 years to, well, Christ's birth. To where you have six days of the week, you know, representing when mankind was, well, around here. I believe that essentially we've been around in the form of Adamic people for close to 7,000 years. And that I do believe that, you know, I don't have a problem with believing there were Cro-Magnon white people who lived, well, they're going back to where 38,000 to, 40,000 to 43,000 for Cro-Magnon skeletons. And in any case, I believe that Adam, you know, I've been going ahead and look at, you know, Comperay's old sermons. And Comperay himself, if you go ahead and read that, says that there were Egyptians before there were Mizraimites. There were people living in Egypt while the flood, a local flood, was going on. There were Chinese living in China before the local flood. So you had Egyptians, a.k.a. white people, to whom the Israelites could intermarry, who they could intermarry, and who would be deemed an Israelite after three generations. And therefore, there were white people in Egypt before there were, quote, biblical, Adamic Israelites, or Egyptians. You understand what I'm saying? So, and going ahead and looking at the rules of war, as long as they were not Canaanites, and, you know, of course, niggers and non-whites, essentially, these Adamites, these Israelites, could go ahead and breed with these descendants from the Cro-Magnons, and there was no law against it. What happens, Adam was not the first white man, it seems to me. And pretty well, you know, I've been pretty well looking at my comparate pages on my forum and going ahead, and this is what I was doing. I was going back to the Wayback Machine and loading up about five or six more comparate early sermons. And folks, Adam, I believe, was the first white man with a soul. And I remember reading something about how there was a change in the ability to speak about 7,000 or so years ago. And so, well, essentially there were pre-white Cro-Magnons, but Adam was the first white man with a soul. He was formed. That's why I believe in the Comparean six-day, seventh-day rest, six-day creation, seventh-day rest, eighth-day formation of Adam with the soul, to where he had a spirit. Okay? And, you know, as far as whether or not there are women, spirits in heaven, whether or not, I mean, I've talked with Pastor John Britton. He believes that Lilith was Satan's daughter. So therefore, you had a demon with a, I guess, you know, did she have a real pussy? Yeah. Did she have a flesh pussy? Yeah. Did, when she wasn't when she wasn't in flesh or incarnate, you know, did she have a spirit pussy? Well, probably. Of course, I don't want to be like a bunch of these other people go ahead and make up new doctrine, make up new beliefs, do this, do that. I don't really much care to speculate a lot of the time, okay? But it's interesting. Go ahead and go with people in the church and sometimes talk without irrationality, without, you know, anybody being bought into anything. But when it comes down to a lot of some of this stuff is speculation, and speculation in many cases about matters we don't know about and maybe are not even able to perceive. Okay? So, well, in many cases here, well, I don't know. I mean, folks, I have a grandmother I was very fond of. Not Jenny, but, you know, my grandmother Emma. And in any cases, she was the one who did the thinking in the Lindstedt family. But she never went ahead and rubbed Fred Lindstedt's nose in it. Do I believe that she's going to be in the Book of Life? Yes, I do. Now, do I think? I mean, the Worldwide Church of God used to have this thing about 100 years. The first 100 years, you would have marriage and giving in marriage among the people who didn't have a chance. And you'd have all this sort of thing about the first and second resurrection here. And it was pretty well within British Israelitism, because Herbert Armstrong didn't really invent anything. All he did was take what was there and then come up with some crap about how you had to give 20%, 30%, 40% of your income to Herbert. And that wasn't in the Bible. Herbert made that up. Herbert came up with a lot of stuff, you know, anointing cloths and, you know, all sorts of crap. That's what happens when you have somebody who essentially makes shit up here. You end up having a big fight, you know, that doesn't mean anything, between Elier, James, Joseph Cutts November, and Finkelschini, as to where non-whites are resurrected here and then judged when they don't really have a covenant or anything like that here. You know, and I've heard some people in Christian Identity say that, well, it doesn't say that Adam, you know, that Yahweh breathed life or soul into Eve, therefore she is not a living soul, therefore she is not a, you know, she's not capable of going ahead and getting eternal life. And I don't believe that. I certainly wouldn't say that in front of Roxy, or if I had my granddaughter Helen. I like to believe that women indeed have souls, that they have spirits, that they're capable, that they're under the law, that they're white, they're Adamic, and therefore they have an additional, they have an additional burden of being born female. They have a number of, you know, they have a number of things here. They're different from men. But as far as having a spirit, I don't think that they are. I do think that they are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. But once you're a spirit being, is it a matter of going ahead and giving birth to flesh? And the answer is no, I don't think so. I don't really know, and I don't really want to get into Mormonism. Don't want to go ahead. You know, I mean, I don't believe in preexistence myself. But in any case, a lot of times you end up getting into speculation with such things. Okay? Yeah. Anyway. Oh, Clay. Well, I don't believe in giving them the vote here. In any case here, I mean, in many cases, I have seen women, you know, I remember this one Christian identity female, she was around in years here, named Pilgrim. And essentially, to be honest with you, until she said she was a female, I assumed she was a bearded Israelite from Arkansas. That's what I assumed. I mean, to be honest with you, until she said that she had a split tail, I assumed, because of the thinking involved, I was talking to a man. And many times here, you talk to a, quote, man, supposedly genitalia. I mean, the critter has a feminized brain altogether. An idiotic feminized brain here. So, I mean, you couldn't tell you're talking to a so-called man here. So, in many cases, like Axis Sally. I mean, I don't all get or agree with her all the time. I'm not sure she's Corinna Burt, although I don't think she is. But essentially, she has a rather rational reason for whatever the hell she, you know, says or she wants done here. And as a result, obviously I don't have a problem with somebody I've never met here. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, there are differences. And then again, you know, it depends on who you're talking to. There are similarities. There are women who go ahead and think directly. Like a man. And then there are so-called men who, are totally feminized. And they're effeminate too here. I mean, heck, used to have, not before the hill, used to have this one little character. He was, totally effeminate. And essentially, once he got of an age, he got past the age of 30, he just went ahead and essentially admitted that he was a homosexual. You know, he likes fudge packing. He always was effeminate. I mean, whenever somebody from out of town, one of my out of town friends would come stay and they'd see this guy, they'd go and assume, well, there's a budding homo, and sure enough, he was. Okay? So, anyway, here. Let me see. Isaiah 3:19 says is that the Israelites are, you know, that children, women and children are the rulers, and children they're oppressors. Folks, that was true. That was true, 2,900 years ago, 2,800 years ago, during the time of Isaiah. If you go ahead and see Pigok, my brother Pigok, wasn't raised that way. essentially he's oppressed by old Pigok's bitch and baby Pigok. You see old baby Pigok, you know, going ahead and having a fine little fuss at the Granby Dollar General store, okay? So, yeah, well, the Israelites are the real people of Yahweh, yes. Okay? And as far as whether or not Eve deceived Adam, a lot of time I sort of think that Adam wanted to be deceived. When it came down to it, Adam was made responsible for what the woman had done. Adam was cursed. He was saying you would have to work all, you would have to go ahead and work the fields and would not give us boundary, and by the sweat of your brow would you go ahead and earn your living and earn the living for the woman. To the woman, you'll be under the dominion of the man. You'll be under the dominion of your husband, and in pain will you bear children. And to the serpent, to the serpent's seed, you crawl on your belly like a reptile, and essentially there would be enmity between the Adamic seed and the Jew spawn, and that there would come a redeemer, and you would bruise, your spawn would go ahead and bruise his heel, and he would bruise the head of you serpent kind. So essentially, everyone took something bad from that from that encounter. You know, there were, essentially, it didn't matter which door you went ahead and picked, there was not going to be some good stuff done here at the end of it. Okay? Okay, well, alright, well, Frank Wigger, I sort of believe that there were people, even white people, before Adam. And, of course, they end up having females. But, well, in any case here, I think just like any other man, he allowed himself to be deceived. He allowed himself to be fooled by whoever. Okay? Okay. Well, huh. All right. Well, Frank Wigger believes in pre-existence. I do not. Okay? So, let's see. Well, we're having quite a debate between Frank Wigger and, you know, Poopy Dog. I'm going to go ahead and sort of bow out of this particular debate. I'm going to go ahead and get back to, the moving turd. Let's see. I'm not quite sure what to go ahead and talk about. Okay. Well, it's, I don't agree that Adam was, you know, I don't believe in pre-existence. So, on the other hand, I don't believe that Adam was one of the Elohim. I've always wondered why, if you end up having, being spirit, why would you want to go ahead, become flesh, and then become flesh, you don't be like Jesus Christ and not sin, but you go ahead and sin, and then you die. That doesn't seem like a good idea here. I've always asked the Mormons, why would you want to go ahead? Why do you believe this stuff? I mean, what does it bring for you to go ahead and believe in pre-existence and essentially reincarnation again and again and again and again? What does it really offer you? So, anyway. Well, yeah, I think it's a intelligent conversation here. Okay. Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and try to go ahead and get back to turd business. I've sort of got it off of, I need to go ahead. What I need to go ahead and do is I do need, and I've been reading this, Kindle book about how to go ahead and electronically publish and become an author. And what you end up having, especially, especially thanks to J.R.L. Moseley and the Finkelsteinites and the rest of these people, what you end up having is you end up having to look for Bertrand Comparé's material as originally written. You have to go to the Library of Congress Wayback Machine, because J.R.L. Moseley, who's a Finkelsteinite, is not going to go ahead and let that, you know, let that happen. So, what happens is that, well, what I need to do is I probably do need to go ahead and, oh, republish Comparé, get them edited, get them in line. The problem with the AIT correspondence course is it allows Mamzers and Jews to go ahead and essentially pretend to be Christian identity ministers because they took the AIT course and they don't know a single thing about what they're talking. I've been listening to some of Eli James. I've caught him pretty well trying to change dual seedline Christian identity theology. Well, I had an argument a couple months ago about how Canaan was cursed because Ham was a Whigger, his mother was a Whigger, so essentially he was cursed into becoming a Jew. And I was trying to say, is it no, his mother, Ham's, you know, Canaan's mother had to be a Jew, a genetic Jew, because Ham was not a genetic Jew, he was just a Whigger. He was descended from Noah, and Noah was a perfect generation. So therefore, why in the world do you say that essentially because, you know, that essentially because Ham allegedly had sex with his mother, that the result was a Jew boy? Now, this sounds like more like an episode for Maury Povich and Jerry Springer, but still, genetics is genetics here. If you're a true Christian, you know, dual seedliner, you understand that Jews are the descendants of Satan. So therefore, since Ham was not descended from Satan, but was rather descended from an Adamite, a perfect generation, the chief family through Seth of the Adamics, then essentially, in order to be cursed, genetically cursed, you know, not be cursed because of the sin. Folks, you're not genetically cursed because as a Whigger you do something bad like screw the pooch. No. You are essentially born of the line of Satan because your ancestors, one of your ancestors was from Satan. And therefore, Eli James is essentially trying to change dual seedline Christian identity. He's denying dual seedline Christian identity. He's denying that the Jews are the spawn of Satan by saying that they are the result of a, well, an incestuous relationship between Ham and Noah's wife, Ham's mother. No. Fink, on the other hand, doesn't even know that much. Eli James knows a good deal of Christian identity. He tries to support it. Fink doesn't know anything about Christian identity. I've gone ahead and listened to this retard, this lying criminal, this lying murderous pig, run around and essentially pretend that he's a great historian because he read a little bit of Herodotus, he read a little bit of this, he read a little bit of that, supposedly in Koine or Common Greek of the, of what, 2,000 years ago, even though most of the actual Greek speakers and writers laugh at Fink. They go ahead and laugh and ridicule Fink. And here he is pretending to be a historian. And you end up having Clifton Emheiser pretty well repeat this papist preterism and say that those of us who believe in the timeline of the Bible are, quote, futurists. Okay? Any case here. Okay, I'm sort of looking You know, so I'm going ahead and looking at the chat here. Still go ahead and, you know. But anyway, what I need to do is that this AIT, you know, ever since this 1995 book, Soldiers of God, which went ahead and identified the AIT as a reference for dual seedline Christian identity, you end up having every single MAMS or criminal, be it Finkelschini, be it, Brian Wright, or Brian Rio, or, well, a number of them. What they do is they claim that they have got a certificate in Christian education, and then they go ahead and set up as Christian identity pastors, and they haven't had the benefit, essentially, of learning a number of things here. You know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when old Finkelschini was over at Mark and Debbie Downey's, or Clint Downey's, essentially, here is Mark Downey. They're talking about high slips, the two Babylons, and Fink essentially has not read the two. You know, you can tell he hasn't read the high slips and two Babylons about the foundation of the Babylonian mystery religion, about how the Roman Catholic Church. But he did understand a little bit more about Simon Magus than he knew a year and a half ago. He used to not know a single thing about Simon Magus. Whereas, if you were raised in the Worldwide Church of God or in Wesley Swift Church, you knew about Simon Magus. You knew that he was a pretender who pretended to be Simon Peter, who pretended to be the very first pope of the Roman Catholic Church. You knew who Simon Magus was, outside of what was discussed in Acts. And so Finkelschini, he knows a little bit more. What I've seen with Mark Downey is that Mark Downey used to be a complete tard. He still is a complete tard, but at least now he understands a little bit more about the origins of Christian identity. Now he's still, and I was listening to what they had to say, and pretty well both Finkelschini and Mark Downey must come to agreement. We are not going to talk about Satan. We're not going to go ahead and discuss how Satan is a real, live, spiritual being, a real, live demon, because Mark Downey doesn't believe that Satan is for real. He believes there is no Satan. Well, no Satan there in Pete Peters, and Pete Peters is dead. Whereas Fink believes that Satan got put into the pit by the Roman Catholic Church, which couldn't deal with the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, the Gepids, the Vandals, the Heruli. They couldn't go ahead and deal with the Huns, but somehow they got Satan to go ahead and be a nice little demon and go into the pit, and where he died, in the pit, and the Jews, why, now they're Satan, and they get turned loose. Somewhere between 1500 and 1800, which is pretty well the Roman Catholic papist preterist view. And here you end up having Mark Downey, and you end up having Finkelschini, a Marino Jew who used to be Christian, you know, used to be Roman Catholic, and they're both pretending to be Christian identity. And essentially, for all practical purposes, Fink believes that Satan is dead. Whereas Finkelschini believes that Satan never existed. Hey. Can, you know, they're no longer so much the odd couple now, are they? Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. And we'll be back. We'll be back for probably the last segment of the Moomin Turd. Okay?
We is the Coons, of course, and we done declared a war. Gonna kill them rotten mothers.
Gonna kill them rotten mothers. Like that Martin Luther King, I'm the number one bad boy. When I bowed my head in prayer, writing bloodshed filled the air. We're non-violent niggers. Oh, we's gonna kill them rotten mothers. I'd that Sammy Davis cat, I'd the cut of aristocrat. I ain't no common people fool, I'd the portion nigger Jew. We're non-violent niggers. Oh, we's gonna kill them rotten mothers. We's the NAACP. We's for human dignity. We march in thick and sandwich hands. We roll our tails up in our pants. We're non-violent niggers. Them white folks, better lovers. Oh, we's gonna kill them rotten mothers.
Hello, folks. I'm looking at that here. It looks like Andy's about to go ahead and go to bed. I was looking at this conversation. It was rather detailed conversation about what is the nature of the female essence here, I guess, or the female spirit. You end up having two boys like Eli or James, or Joseph Cuts November, and he comes up with his Shekinah glory. And from what I gather, the Shekinah glory is that you end up having these Jews who are really into this mysticism, and you've had this mysticism in all branches of religion. You had the Gnostics who knew all this mystical stuff here, or at least they claimed to, and you have in Islam, you end up having the Sufis or the Dervishes who go ahead and really get into a number of things. And what they do is they create a number of little lesser gods or angels or demons or spirits or something here. But the Shekinah glory, in the case of Jew boys, believes that Yahweh is just in some aspects, is just a gigantic pulsating vagina. And I guess this great big pulsating, Miss Pac-Man of a gigantic spirit twat goes ahead and gives some Shekinah glory or some such stuff here. And I sort of found that rather far-fetched myself here. I was, I think Puppy Dog or Poopy Dog went ahead and talked about how you would have some Uyghurs go ahead and marry other Uyghurs, and their children would just be mainly Uyghurs. And you go ahead and read in Matthew chapter 13 where Jesus Christ said that he was speaking in parables in order to prevent the vast majority of Judeans. He wasn't talking to these Edomite Jews or Mamzers or anything like that here, but among his church, only a few were told what these parables meant. And these parables were meant to keep people from repenting, keep people from becoming awake. And when I went ahead and went with Keith, and by the way, I haven't talked to Keith for a month or two, and haven't talked to Logan other than by email for a couple weeks. Pretty well, Keith and Logan are both sort of AWOL, each doing their own little thing or not doing their own thing, not doing what they used to do. In any case, the vast majority of white people are not called by Jesus Christ. And therefore, since they are not called is because Jesus Christ knows there's something wrong in their genetic woodpile? Or is it because until he's ready to call you, you can just be a Whigger and just be somebody who is still under the law, but not to a heightened degree because you haven't been called, and therefore you will die in ignorance? You know, will there be a chance for you to go ahead and be resurrected, and once Satan is put in the pit for 1,000 years, you get the feeling is that during the millennium, and that there will be plenty of people who will live their lives, who will go ahead and have children, who will not no longer have the excuse of, I was deceived by Satan. Well, how can you be deceived by Satan? He's in a pit. He's chained up. He's locked up. He's like a dog who you don't even see. I guess all you see is a big old plate at the top of the bottomless pit here to where, yep, Satan, you know, and then arrow, you know, aimed at here. You know what I mean? But he ain't going ahead and deceiving you. And still, when he gets turned loose, most of the nations of the world are fooled. And you have mentioned Gog and Magog, who were the children, not of Shem, but of Japheth. The grandsons and sons of Japheth. Oh, what to believe or what to think. Will Adamites, Israelites who didn't have a chance, will they get a second chance? And I don't know. I don't know. But my dad, you know, my dad, why he believed. My mother believed whatever my dad told her to do, and she essentially, she was pretty well, you know, because she was of that time and era, a woman born in 1933 squeezed out a lot of, you know, 4 healthy white children, who pretty well was back in that time and age not encouraged to essentially do like Whigger sluts do today. Even though she was somewhat limited mentality. Yeah, well, you know, she's not dead yet. You know, will she have a second chance, or will she, will what she does be enough to get her by? Will she be written in the Book of Life? I don't know. I don't know. I sort of believe that when you are a spirit being, essentially the part about copulation, the part of going ahead and having children, are pretty well no longer your paramount concern any more than going ahead and making a day-to-day paycheck as a wage and tax slave. In many cases here, it is good to have a peaceful, polite exchange or speculation. But a lot of times it is essentially speculation. And I always, you know, I really loathe calling someone a heretic, even these Ephraim Scepter nitwits. I mean, I think they're my, Russ Walker, he's my brother. He's my brother in Christ. He still believes this Ephraim Scepter horse shit. There's a guy over on, the Mamzer Barrel. He's all mad at Appy. But he believes this Ephraim Scepter and Pastor Buddy Ephraim Scepter horse shit. Now, will I call him a heretic? And the answer is no, I really don't. I don't really think they're evil because they believe something different. I think what they believe is, well, horse shit. But, you know, I believe it's just something that, you know, they came up here, you know, that they sort somebody made up and they're just repeating like idiots. But, you know, folks, I mean, in many cases, you understand that you don't know everything and that some things are not given for you to understand. I remember when Daniel, well, not remember, but I read where Daniel was asking, what are these things I see mean? What do they mean here? And essentially, Yahweh says, Daniel, this is not for you to know. Don't worry your old head about it. Get a good night's sleep. You know, just go ahead and seal up the book. You can maybe speculate about it, but not out loud. I mean, don't worry, Daniel. You'll be in the kingdom. But you don't need to know. It's not going to do you any good to know. So what if? What if you're a white person who essentially is looking about what is going on, and that's what you end up seeing. That's what Yahweh comes to wants to harvest. He wants to go ahead and harvest all these Uyghurs who are going ahead and looking out. They're going ahead and looking at what's going on, and they realize that the cultural Stalingrad's gone. So what do? They look for a racist site. There's a lot of young people. I've seen one or two of them in my time in the movement. Why are you believing Adolf Hitler? Well, my no good, sellout, worthless parents here who are just a bunch of Uyghurs, they believe that Adolf Hitler was bad. So essentially, anybody who the Jews and my idiot parents believe are bad, well, I guess he has a point. And essentially, that's what Harold Covington wants to go ahead and find. He wants to go ahead and find all these Uyghurs who are beginning to, quote, wake up, begin to realize this shit can't continue, and he wants to go ahead, essentially, and get them to actually doing something here. You know what I mean? Now, for someone like me, I believe that, well, it's too late to do anything other than to do what you should do, always be doing, is saving your own life. Don't worry about Zog. Zog's fucked. Zog has about the life expectancy of of Cotney King. I call him Cotney King here. Instead of Rodney King, I call him Cotney King here because he was just a life support system for a nigger dick. But old Cotney King. I mean, Zog has about the same life expectancy as old Cotney King here when his little, you know, nigger weed and drunken stupor, he went ahead and fell into the nigger bird, you know, the deep water nigger bird bath that for some reason he went ahead and wasted money because he couldn't swim a lake, you know, being a nigger, he couldn't swim a lake in his life, being a stupid nigger, was about to learn, you know. I mean, what the hell is a nigger doing with a swimming pool? I mean, do you imagine how many bottles of, a Thunderbird, how many bottles of Ernest and Julio, and how many bottles of Jack you could have bought for the nigger bird bath when just go ahead and drown in your worthless nigger ass? But essentially, Zog has the same life expectancy as old Cotney King did when he essentially waded into or fell over or whatever into his deep water nigger bird bath bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, when they fished dead nigger out here, there was anything left of him. He was one dead gone goose here. I'd like to think that the pigs went ahead and beat that nigger's ass one last time for old time's sake here. Okay? Okay, in any case here, folks, if you end up having, like Jesus Christ said back in the old days, and folks, when he was going ahead and speaking, were there lots and lots and lots of women following him, or was mainly it just men? I believe it was mainly men who was going ahead and who he was speaking the parables to, so they wouldn't understand. The vast majority of people during Christ's lifetime, during his ministry, he had his 12 disciples, one of whom was a Jew, was there for one purpose only, was to go ahead and do evil and turn Christ in and, you know, think him out like Finkelstein does. Essentially, only 11 and maybe a few other, maybe 70 elders or something like that, understood what Christ said. And still they were asking, why are you speaking parables? Well, I'm speaking parables so the vast majority of people won't understand. So, did it really matter whether or not if you were listening to Christ and being spoken to in a parable and not understand, as whether or not you had a crest or a, you know, or a convex genitalia? The answer is no. Neither one of you, you know, neither one, regardless of whether you had a split tail or a dick, understood what Christ was saying to you. And were you not an Israelite? The answer is sure you were. Did you understand? No. It wasn't until after Jesus Christ was dead that the time of the church to be formed and to grow came up, and with Keith Southworth, we went ahead and covered the Acts of the Apostles to where you had, what, 3,000, then 8,000, then 10,000, and more and more and more coming in, to where within a year there were probably 50,000 Christians, as opposed to, what, probably less than 100 while Christ lived. There was a time and a season for everything. And you go ahead and read in the Bible that there were some women who went ahead and understand. Are they going ahead and are they doomed because they have a split tail to not understanding? And the answer is no. Does it really matter when they have a spiritual body? Does it really matter in the next world, your spirit being, as to whether or not you have a hole or a pole, neither of which are in use? Do you get to go ahead and choose? Do you get to go ahead and be sort of like a Michael Jackson and say, I want to be a white female? Or do you want to say, I want to go through eternity here? I went through my worldly life with a pole, and I want to go through my spiritual life with a hole. Which is it? And the answer is, I don't know. It seems sort of silly. It sort of seems sort of silly once you think about it. Okay? Well, that's true. That is true. Yeah. Old Poopy Dog has a number of sober questions here. And probably what I need to do, since there's no Keith and there's no Logan to do the heavy lifting, maybe I need to go ahead and just have a Bible study, which is already worked out. And essentially what I do is I just go ahead and just type in the answers on TalkShoe while I'm playing it over the cell phone and essentially then loading it up here. What I do on this show is I just go ahead and talk, and when you have people calling in, rather than spend 3 or 4 hours going ahead and amplifying it, what I do is I just take the entire section and I go ahead and usually use WavePad to expand it by 256 or 264% to where essentially it goes ahead and meets its maximum dynamic range. And then I go ahead and put that segment up here. But most of the time I go ahead and work with the MP3 files. I go ahead and put the songs that I choose. This past week I went ahead and took Harold Covington's Radio Free Northwest and went ahead. I liked all three songs that he played here. So I went ahead and used two of them for segments on Movement Church. And what I might do is to indeed do a Bible study, so to speak. I really liked doing Keith's Bible study until Keith got to where my way or the highway and we couldn't go ahead and agree no more. And essentially, I would have liked it if Keith could have gone ahead and controlled some of his arrogance. And essentially, okay, Keith, you do the Bible study, I'll go ahead and do the help. You know, because I do not believe in an ever-burning hell for mortal people. I don't believe that Jesus Christ or Yahweh is going to torture you forever and ever and ever. You know, and there are some things I don't know. What happens is I was somewhat surprised by going ahead and putting up, you know, from the Wayback Machine. You know, I mean, I was not too impressed here by going ahead and looking for it on Jerrell Mosley's IsraelElect.com and finding out that he didn't even put up the old HTML stuff here, but instead he had to go ahead and turn it to PDF, and you have Clifton M. Iser running around and giving his impressions of this. So I had to go to the Wayback Machine, and what I did is I just simply went ahead and saved this text, went ahead and reformatted it, and went ahead and seen a book that, essentially a larger book that Comparay went ahead and printed up. So essentially I'll go ahead and put the most important stuff, I'll go ahead and put some of the stuff in topical order, not edit any of it, and then go ahead and work on it here. And I would, I got a lot of stuff I need to do, and I have sort of been not getting it done. I'll admit that. But in any case, I really did like what was said in many cases tonight here. You know what I mean? Well, no, what happens is that the language of the West nowadays is not Christianity, and that's what Revilio P. Oliver was saying. He was whining about it, but at the very end, he couldn't be a Christian. Why? He was too smart to be a Christian. But boo-hoo-hoo, I can't live off the Christians because there's no more Christians. Well, how is that attitude any different than a Jew's attitude to where, like, Eric Thompson, who doesn't like Christianity, he did say that Christians pray on their knees, Jews pray on Christians. How is that? Folks, solipsism is the real default language of pretty well everyone. I think it's really impossible, unless you're like Jesus Christ and have aspects of the Godhead in you, I think it's really impossible to go ahead and understand another human being better than yourself. I think it's impossible, unless you have a death wish, to love another person more than yourself. Folks, we're all solipsists, and in order to go ahead and overcome that, we have to work. We have to work hard on that. People ask me, what were you like when you were a child? Oh, I was a selfish little monster. I've already told about how I let my white German Shepherd get beaten for my accidentally killing a chicken, and pretty well lied to where the dog got the beat instead of me. That is not exactly the behavior that created, I mean, essentially, I was sort of like the Antichrist when I was young here. I was the one who went and committed the sin. The dog got the beating for it. The dog was the Messiah. He's the one that got the beating. Not me. And what you have to do, and some of this is not your choice, you have to be chosen by Jesus Christ. That's why the vast majority of the Israelites are the lost sheep and still lost. They're lost, lost, lost. But what I try to do is I try to talk to the found sheep of the house of Israel. Do I really have or do I really want any new heresies? Do I really want to go ahead and pull an Eli or James here and try to change which should be understood doctrine as it is? Now, I do prefer Comparay to Wesley Swift because I have read more Comparay than Wesley Swift. And I do need to go ahead and read some Wesley Swift. But, you know, I don't have a problem You know, although I don't always agree everything that Wesley Swift, I have a tendency to believe more of the stuff that Bertrand Comperet said. And Mike Callamore says that, yes, Wesley Swift was the greatest speaker. Bertrand Comperet was the greatest teacher. He went ahead and made things simple. He went ahead and made things understandable. And when you end up having that, you end up having two different type of followers after. You have Willie Martin, who essentially would say in 10 words, in 2,000 words, what Bertrand Comperet said in 200, but Willie Martin understood that essentially he was there to expound on Comperet, not to go ahead and change it, or Clifton Emmaheiser, who goes ahead and takes Comperet and then puts his Roman Catholic South Italian preferences on it, and then brings every little Jew and every little Mamzer in to go ahead and bring in papist preterism. No, folks, I mean, I don't intend to go ahead and add anything to dual seed line Christian identity. In any case, folks, Well, okay, we're getting on to predetermination. I don't believe in predetermination. I'll go ahead and make that quite clear. And some of it is that I don't see why if we had earned eternal life, we would have to go ahead essentially and go like we're going to the casino Indians and double down or nothing. I also believe in free will. I believe that we didn't exist before. I believe that we are, each one of us is someone new that has been created by our parents, and that is Yahweh's. I mean, were there not, you know, I mean, I've been looking at old Bertrand Comperet material. Essentially, Bertrand Comperet goes ahead and admits that there were Egyptians before Noah. That there were Egyptians before Noah's flood. Okay? There were Egyptians before Noah's flood and before Ham with his white wife had a son called Mizraim. So therefore, there were Egyptians before. And yet, were there not people before Adam? Were there not white people before Adam? Well, archaeology says yes. But somewhere around the time of Adam, or maybe after Adam, there was a change in Cro-Magnon man to where Homo sapiens became Homo sapiens sapiens. And folks, there is somewhat of a difference between. Folks, I think it's entirely possible that just like the Egyptians of Ham's day, or Ham's son, Mizraim, were white, and thus allowed into the congregation of Israel after three generations, recognized as Israelites. That they were there, and Comperet says they were there. There was an Egypt before the flood. Since there's a local flood, they didn't drown in this flood. So therefore, how is someone, your average Joe Israelite, to know the difference between a white person who's an Egyptian but descended from the pre-Noahian Egyptians and one that's descended from the post-Hamitic Egyptians who are white? Most of us don't know the names of all four of our grandparents. How are we supposed to go ahead and know who exactly were our ancestors 1,000, 2,000 years previously? And the answer, we can't. We can't. There's nothing we can do about some nigger in the woodpile 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years ago. But the answer of it is that if you're white now, is because Yahweh wanted you to be part of a servant nation, who he did chastise, who he did punish for not obeying the covenants. So therefore, you are white. You have a white lineage stretching from Adam. Now, you might end up having some white Cro-Magnon in you. Because remember, they were allowed to go ahead and interbreed. Not with niggers, not with chinks, not with gooks, not with, and there were no red niggers there. But essentially, they were allowed to breed with whites who essentially did not have a covenant with Yahweh, who did not have a deal with Yahweh, but who Yahweh had created or allowed to be created. So therefore, you don't know from whence you came beyond maybe 100, maybe 200 years. But in many ways, because you are called, because you are here and called, it's because Yahweh knows who you are. He knows who your ancestors are. He knows you belong. And you sense that you belong. You know that you belong. And therefore, you are here. Because Jesus Christ called you. You're the chosen seed of Israel's race. Who chose you? Yahweh. Who called you? You who did hear the call? Who called you? Why? Christ called you. Therefore, you are here. Therefore, you belong. Therefore, you are. And what will happen to you later, after the events named in the Bible? You may speculate, and I don't think it's, you may speculate all you want. But you'll never know for certain until the time is there. But in many cases, you have the assurance because you are the stock. You are the chosen seed. You have the stability. And you understand inherently our racial religion. And therefore, you understand the beauty of it. And you don't need to go ahead and graft on strange fruit. Okay? Any case here. Alrighty. Yeah, it's, close to midnight my time. Any case. Let's see how long I've been yakking. 30 minutes. Folks, I sort of got off the subject here that essentially it's going to be a long, hot summer. Let me go ahead and let everybody who needs to go to bed get to bed, and I'll go ahead and go back to essentially the movement turd. This was not meant to be a Bible study, but on the other hand, unlike Gene Scott, I'm not waiting for your phones to ring to send me 50 or 10 or 5 or whatever main Zogbuck. Essentially, Talks to You is free. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take another 4 or 5 minute break here, and y'all can go ahead and, well, it looks like Andy had to go ahead and leave, and, well, that's good. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. Those of you who want to hang on here, I'll go ahead and get back to the how it's going to be a long, hot summer for Zog, which is better than a short, hot summer. Hail victory, folks.
LBJ was a flying one morning over South Louisiana, feeling forlorn, and he looked down below, and what does he see? Two Cajuns pulling a nigger on ski. So he lands and says, thanks for helping your black brother. And them two Cajuns looked at each other, said he might be smart, but I'll tell you something, he don't know a thing about alligator hunting. No, wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hating everybody is a getting much bigger.
A rich man traveling down through the South. Stopped in Mississippi to get a tooth pulled out. When he paid the doctor, the charge is due. He said, my nigga chauffeur's got a bad tooth too. Well, I pull it at the doctor, but you better not holler, cause I'll have to charge you $200. Cause here in Mississippi, can't open his mouth. I'll have to go through his bottom to get the thing out. Oh, wop, bop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, bop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, bop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hatin' everybody is a-gettin' much bigger. Difference between a nigger and a donkey, about as much between a ape and a monkey. One's a little bigger, but you gotta agree, there's not very much more that you can see. But a mule earned his living by the sweat of his neck, while a nigger sits down all the government checks. A nigger should be smarter as a general rule, but in a spelling contest, I pick a mule. Oh, wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? Wop, wop, bam, bam, who likes a nigger? And the hatin' everybody is a-gettin' much bigger.
Okay, folks, I want to get back to the, the movement toward, actuality here now that pretty well Andy and Frank and Wigger, you left. I'm sort of surprised because I'm I guess maybe you want to catch an encore position, you know, of find out who killed Rosie Larson on American Movie Classics, you know, thing here. Folks, I've been going ahead and listening or taping the old episodes of Breaking Bad on that here, but essentially you don't have that come on for about another 2 hours or so. Anyway, folks, let's go ahead and get to the actual news. It says Egypt, I'm looking at MSNBC.com, Egypt military guards power as Islamists claim victory. Essentially it says underneath it, as the Muslim Brotherhood declares victory for its candidate, the ruling party military council issues new rules that make clear that their real power remains with the army. Okay, folks, you end up having the same thing with the Republican Party and Democrat Secretary of State essentially claiming that as a white supremacist, I can't run for office and I can't be allowed to, essentially, even if my political, well, party, which I run in Newton County, declares me a candidate, I'm not allowed to go ahead and run. Folks, there's no difference between what the state of Missouri and Newton County want to go ahead and do to where they don't want to bother with, well, supporting open, free, fair, honest elections. The army in Egypt is doing the same thing. You end up having, essentially, the Muslim Brotherhood, from my gather, they won the election. They've gone ahead and gave Mubarak, the dictator, a life sentence. He was sick. They went ahead and fixed him up so he can go ahead and serve, I guess, his life sentence. And now you end up having, essentially, this army, which is essentially given weapons and training and money by Zog, to go ahead and rule over a bunch of ragheads who actually believe in, well, the principles of Islam. And essentially they're saying they can't be bothered with obeying that. Oh? In any case, any regime ends up having to live with the consent of the governed. And if it doesn't have the consent of the governed, the governed don't need to go ahead and revolt. The governed don't need to go ahead and shoot down pigs. Although, if you're not doing very good here, go ahead and have at it here if you don't have very much more time. But I don't urge people to go ahead and do that. I don't urge people to go ahead and get in trouble. In fact, I urge people to stay out of the movement, stay out underneath there, and essentially don't support Zog Babylon. Let Zog Babylon make its way in a declining era. I don't urge you to go ahead and revolt and rebel and do anything bad against Zog, because Zog is falling apart. Zog is on the edge of decline. And just like in Egypt, the Egyptians may be far more brutal, but when it comes down to it, you have the same thing which went ahead and collapsed Hosni Mubarak. You have 85 million people living in a country that can only support 40 or 45 or 50 million, and essentially at least three or four out of eight require handouts in order to survive. And that's what went in topple Hosni Mubarak. And that's what may or may not topple this military council. In other news, why, hey, just like I said, old Rodney King found dead in a swimming pool. I wouldn't be surprised if this nigger bitch, maybe she pushed him in. Maybe, you know, here he was going ahead and becoming an obnoxious nigger from all the meth. You know, and the weed didn't go ahead and make him mellow. Maybe the she-boon went ahead and pushed old drunken, coked up, cranked out Rodney into the deep water nigger birdbath. Who knows? And more to the point, who cares? 20 years ago, because some Uyghurs went ahead and found these policemen not guilty of beating up a nigger who had it coming, the niggers used that as an excuse to riot. Now, what could have happened is that could have been used as an excuse to go ahead and machine gun niggers, let them burn down their own houses, let the Korean shopkeepers go ahead and shoot down the niggers. No big deal. No big deal. But instead, you end up having riots which took 53 lives, went ahead and created one hell of a commotion, and there's the notion that essentially if you end up having a beaner Jew like George Zimmermanser, essentially protecting Jew boys and richer Uyghurs from allowing niggers to run wild, why, hey, we're going to go ahead and somehow maintain our gated community. Well, no you're not. You can't maintain a community which you're not able and willing to protect against roving niggers. So essentially what you end up having here, 20 years later, after the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, you end up having the same thing to where nigger flash mobs are running wild. And anyone who goes ahead and tries to keep niggers in line, why, he's going to be thrown in jail. He's going to go ahead and be locked up. He's going to go ahead and be kept from getting to do anything. Oh, it's Escape from L.A. Well, I never seen that one here. I may go ahead and look at it here in a minute. It's Escape from L.A. here. I never seen that one here. Maybe I need to go ahead and finish up the show here, folks. Folks, you're not going to have an escape from New York. You're not going to have an escape from L.A. Folks, you shouldn't be in New York. You shouldn't be in L.A. You shouldn't be anywhere where there be niggers. You should have enough sense not to do that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and turn the Talmud edition on. I'm wondering. Well, it looks like an update of the music here from Escape of New York here. Folks, escape from Zog. And what you do is you don't go ahead and fight it directly. You don't go ahead and go head to head. Zog is on its way out. Zog is out to destroy itself. What you should do is worry about yourself, worry about your family, getting close to Yahweh. Get close to Yahweh. Figure out which ones of your family and friends you want to go ahead and carry with you. And what you do is you save your own life. There's no hope for Zog. No hope for Zog. There's hope for you. But only if you go ahead and do something intelligent. Yahweh is not telling you to go ahead and do something idiotic. So don't do anything idiotic. In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead.
Hostile forces inside the United States grow strong.
Hostile forces.
The city of Los Angeles is ravaged by crime and immorality.
Immorality in Los Angeles.
And defended citizens, the United States Police Force is formed. A presidential candidate predicts a millennium earthquake will destroy L.A. in divine retribution.
Like the mighty fist of God, Armageddon will descend upon the city of Los Angeles, the city of sin, the city of Gomorrah, the city of Sodom, and waters will arise and separate this sinful, sinful city from our country.
An earthquake measuring 9.6 on the Richter scale hits at 12:59 p.m. August 23rd in the year 2000.
Sounds a lot like shit that could happen today, don't it, folks? Big old tidal wave.
The devastation, the Constitution is amended, and the newly elected president accepts a lifetime term of office. The country's capital is relocated from Washington, D.C. to the president's hometown of Lynchburg, Virginia. Los Angeles Island is declared no longer part of the United States and becomes the deportation point for all people found undesirable or unfit to live in the new moral America. The United States Police Force, like an army, is encamped along the shoreline, making any escape from L.A. impossible. From the southeastern hills of Orange County to the northwestern shore of Malibu, the Great Wall excludes L.A. from the mainland. The president's first act as permanent commander-in-chief is Directive 17. Once an American loses his or her citizenship, they are deported to this island of the damned, and they never come back.
Well, folks, at least you had Cliff. Yeah, this is 2013 here. This movie was made a number of years ago. What happens is that, hey, at least you had Cliff Robertson, you know, as president in this movie, as opposed to, hell, some stupid nigger who ain't even an American citizen. In any case here, I'm going to go ahead and watch the rest of the movie here. It seems rather apropos of something here, now that it is here. Maybe I'll go ahead and get some ideas. So, folks, this is the last segment of the Movement Turd. I'm going to go ahead and watch Escape from L.A. I never seen it before. And essentially, folks, I predict just like the Cliff Robertson wannabe candidate for president, is that Zog is really fucked. So anyway, folks, we're going to go ahead and call it a night. Hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out Zog's tyranny. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Why they go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why they go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. Why men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. Why men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp about gospel. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.